questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
They took a world full of potential, only some are now essential, turning one against another. No more father, no more mother. Choices are obliterated, factories are eliminated, children going hungry, bankers making money. Stop it! We got to keep connecting the youngest with the old, cause the oldest fought for freedoms that are never to be sold. Deceivers throw out wisdom that comes from who knows where. Up is down and down is up as long as they got good hair. Wolves are dressing up like sheep in upside down crazy town. Nothing's making sense at all in upside down crazy town. Good is bad and bad is good in upside down crazy town. Nothing's working as it should in upside down crazy town. We only have two genders, and climate always changes, but social engineers establish wider ranges. Pronouns are offensive, while truth is on defensive. Drag queens are progressive, conservatives oppressive. Since when? Exerting social pressure, while forcing certain measures. Look and see, mask or no, as we watch divisions grow. Black and white are made to fight. Who determines what is right? The truth is so elusive. Do people even care? It does. Doesn't seem to matter as long as they got good hair. Wolves are dressing up like sheep in upside down crazy town. Nothing's making sense at all in upside down crazy town. Good is bad and bad is good in upside down crazy town. Nothing's working as it should in upside down crazy town. Crazy town. From Germany to Calgary and all around the globe, as the times they are a-changing, we have to be more bold. The picture is unfolding as most just look away, while others see what's coming. Some gather as they pray, singing hallelujah. For we must be relentless, and comfort we will find when we hear the answers to ease our troubled minds. We must not be so blinded by those with crooked smiles, but look beyond the image, the fashion and the style. Look towards what lies within, that matters if you dare. Most people are oblivious as long as they got good hair. As long as they look, it doesn't matter what you say. Fluoride stares and no one cares as they all gaze away. Illusions are created, it happens all the time, by liars and deceivers sipping expensive wine. Fools are dressing up like sheep in upside down crazy town. Nothing's making sense at all in upside down crazy town. Good is bad and bad is good in upside down crazy town. Working as it should in upside down crazy town, crazy town, crazy town. From medicine hat to Italy, lockdowns are a tragedy. Experts claim to know the score, but money opens up their door. Therapeutics were denied and kids committing suicide. Phony stories circled round, dead people laying on the ground. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Now we must face adversity and battle to infinity. And wars are always hard to fight to establish what is right. Seek out the injustice that stares you in the face. Or you can say sayonara to the human race. Goodbye, yellow brick road. The numbers, they were phony, and all the tests were fake. And lots of people really died with miserable heartache. We have to stop relying on those who are selected. Let the lion roar within you. Let those liars be rejected. Wolves are dressing up like sheep in upside down crazy town. Nothing's making sense at all in upside down crazy town. Good is bad and bad is good in upside down crazy town. Nothing's working as it should in upside down crazy town. Upside down crazy town. Upside down crazy town. Nothing's working as it should in upside down crazy town.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of ShakeAndWakeRadio.com and also being heard on the Truth Be Told Network. I was originally going to have Vinny Eastwood join me today, but we seem to be having some technical problems with Vinny, and we can't get him on the line here. So that just happened a few minutes ago on short notice. There's a gentleman that I've wanted to get on my shows here. I haven't been able to hook up with Ron, but actually just got in touch with him about 15 minutes before airtime today and asked him if he'd like to join me on short notice. I'd like to say welcome to Ron Tyler, who has a site called Emergency Management Associates. And what Ron does is pretty well got his finger on the pulse as far as earthquakes and volcanoes and all kinds of crazy stuff we see going on our planet today. And he was gracious enough to join me here on short notice, Ron. So thanks for joining me and welcome to the Big Puzzle. You're welcome. I know that I know to say that things are crazy out there would be an understatement. What we see going on right now in the world is just it's beyond anything that I thought I'd see in my lifetime. But then not really, because I know that these things were coming. Oh, welcome to the show. And what's really big this week that's happened that I think people should know about, that a lot of this doesn't get exposed on mainstream?
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. Several days ago, the South Sandwich Islands got hit with what I have determined to be a 9.0 magnitude earthquake. That is an extraordinarily major earthquake. Okay, that's the kind of earthquake that we are expecting to see in over in Washington State, Oregon, and Northern California area in terms of the Cascadia megathrust earthquake. Yes. And we honestly thought that that would have happened by now, but fortunately, and I'm going to say fortunately, that has not happened, because that earthquake would have been between a 9.0 to a 10.0 magnitude earthquake when it hits the Juan de Fuca Fault area of Washington State. And it will be magnified going north into British Columbia, and it'll be magnified going south all the way to the Mexican border.
Mm.
Okay. However, this 9.0 earthquake hit in the South Sandwich Islands, just south and east of the southern tip of South America. Now, the problem with this is probably one of the most dangerous subduction zones on the Earth. Just as dangerous, well, only second dangerous is the Indonesian area that comprises seven different faults, each one subducting under the other, beginning with the Australian plate. But the Cascadia megathrust earthquake that was scheduled, that we thought would happen by now up in the Juan de Fuca area of Washington State, would have rendered a 9 to 10.0 magnitude earthquake. This one that we saw hit the South Sandwich Islands, fortunately for us, and I'm going to say fortunately, happened where it did. However, it was the powers that be, the USGS, which is the United States Geological Survey, the EMSC, which is the European Seismological Agency, and GeoNet, which is the Australian New Zealand Seismological Agency, have said, oh, this was only a 7.2 earthquake.
Hmm.
However, we have since found out from the USGS and the EMSC that they hid the 8.1, the alleged 8.1. Now, we knew that it was at least an 8.1, but the agencies denied it happened until yesterday.
Well, we see a lot of that, Ron.
Yes, we do. They hide the earthquakes, and they hit it for 3 days.
They seem to be downplaying a lot of the magnitudes. The one that happened in Alaska there a couple of weeks ago, they underreported that one. And I know you did a talk on that one. That was a massive earthquake. We're sure seeing an uptick in really big quakes around the planet right now. I think that would be an understatement, man. And you're talking there about the Cascadia, Ron. Well, you're talking about the Cascadia. That's something that I have talked about quite a bit on my shows over the years, the danger of the Cascadia and what it's going to do to us when it does go. And if it ever does go to where we know it can, we're in a lot of trouble, buddy. A lot of trouble. It'll devastate.
We're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, devastate the West Coast. Completely devastate. Yeah. Will be a Japan 2011 event. The whole coast of North of the whole coast of the West Coast would be totally destroyed. All cities would be destroyed. Yeah. People can't grab. You know, you say that to people and they can't even begin to wrap their minds around it. But that's the danger of the Cascadia. And the longer she goes, the more it's gonna erupt. When it erupts, it's the stronger it's gonna get. Of course. So I'm surprised that it hasn't gone. And I know that's one of the biggest concerns that a lot of people have right now is that particular fault line. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's gonna go. And we, in fact, two Christmases ago, one of my buddies who lives up there in British Columbia, we were watching things happen. Christmas Eve two years ago, at about 11:30 p.m., all heck broke loose up on the northern Juan de Fuca Fault.
Right.
Just northwest of Vancouver Island. There were four 7.0 magnitude earthquakes within a matter of hours. Within a matter of hours. And we thought, oh, crap.
That's it. It's going to go.
What? Yeah, we thought it was it. We honestly did.
Yeah.
And we're going, oh, Heavenly Father, don't let this happen. Not on Christmas Eve. Not on Christmas Eve. Millions of people will be killed. And we prayed like we've never prayed before. And that's all that happened was four 7.0s. What we found out, that those may have been stronger quakes than that. Given all the scientific information that we are now gathering on the present day quakes that we're having, that may have been a larger earthquake than 7.0.
Hmm.
All four of them. And quite honestly, what we're seeing now, just a couple of weeks ago, we had an earthquake that scientists were saying was a 7.9 up there
in Alaska,
south of Perryville, Alaska.
Yeah.
And the research says it was a 9.0, and it may have been a 9.5. And the only reason there was only a 12-inch tsunami and that nobody was hurt or killed, because they were shaking over on land along the peninsula of Alaska and over at Kodiak, Alaska. There was shaking going on, a lot of it. But the only reason there was no major damage and nobody hurt was because of the location where the earthquake struck.
Right.
That is the only reason. It was out to sea. And the seawater, the ocean, the northern Pacific Ocean, absorbed most of the shock waves. If that had hit on land, the place would have been obliterated. It was a 9.0, maybe even a 9.5 magnitude earthquake. The other reason it did not have a tsunami is because it did not involve the falling of the shelf.
Right.
The ocean shelf in that area. That's the only reason. If that shelf had fallen, we could have had a 12 to 150 foot tsunami. Easily.
Right. Well, that's what the Cascadia is going to do, is when it moves, it is a subduction zone. So you're going to have massive movements of one plate under another, and that will create a massive tsunami. I've read so many reports on the Cascadia here in the last 5 years, Ron, that, you know, I get a lot of different reports and a lot of different opinions. But the general opinion is that we could be looking at a minimum of a 50-foot tsunami hitting the West Coast, some places within 20 minutes. Of the earthquake itself.
Yes.
Now you're talking about a recipe for disaster like we've never seen in our probably recorded history. What it's going to do to the West Coast. You know, my biggest concerns about all this, Ron, of course, is that we have nuclear power plants now sitting on the West Coast, and we have chemical plants.
Yeah, a lot of them.
And boy, I'll tell you, sir, when these plants get hit with a 50-foot tsunami, we look at what Fukushima has done to the Pacific Ocean, what it's continuing to do right now. They don't have the answers for that. And if people think that's a solved problem, then they have their heads in the sand, because Fukushima, you're going to continue to hear from it for a long time going forward. But the potential on the West Coast, Ron, with how many nuclear power plants, I think we have, I'll stand corrected if I'm wrong on this statement. I did a study on it one time there about 2 years ago, and I think we have 8 or 9 active nuclear power plants on the West Coast between California and, say, Alaska. And if those get hit with a 50-foot tsunami, my friend, then you're going to have 8 or 9 Fukushimas on the West Coast. And, of course, all our wind patterns prevail from the west to the east. So you're looking at a scenario that would be something for a really good movie, you know, if you wanted to make a horror show. But you're right. Millions of people are going to – because, you know, what's going to happen, Ron, of course, you get hit with a 9-point or bigger earthquake that close to shore. Well, a lot of the roads are going to be broken down. The bridges are going to be broken down, and people are going to be trying to escape to higher ground. They're going to have a very short period of time to do it, and you're looking at a very, very ugly scenario. So I hope we don't see that in our lifetime, but I realize it's a real possibility right now, especially with the amount of earthquake activity we're seeing right now on the planet. It's right off the scales. Go ahead.
Yeah. The earthquake that hit in the South Sandwich Islands a few days ago was a 9.0 earthquake.
That's a big shaker.
It was a subduction. Yeah, it is. And there was a tsunami associated with that, although everybody, and I'm going to emphasize everybody, is downplaying it or hiding the information. That was a subduction earthquake, a major subduction earthquake. And it's not just that, folks. There's more. Just like that infomercial, there's more. The place down in the South Sandwich Islands is still shaking. And it's not just twos and threes. It's shaking to the tune of 5.0 to 5.9. Even today, multiple 5.0 or larger earthquakes have hit the South Sandwich Islands today. And look at what happened over in Haiti yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, that was, what, a 7.2?
They said it was a 7.2, but my figures and my experience and my investigation have pegged it at least an 8.5, because it's still shaking. Now, there's three kinds of seismic waves we're talking about here when an earthquake hits. We have the initial seismic wave called a P wave.
Right.
And the P wave might last anywhere from a minute to 3 minutes. Well, that earthquake yesterday, the P wave lasted for 3 minutes. That was a much larger earthquake than they're saying. And yes, there was a small tsunami involved. They're also downplaying that. But that earthquake in Haiti yesterday, I'm saying it was an 8.5, not a 7.2.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
It was a major, major earthquake. Anywhere from, let me give everybody a good background on what a large earthquake is. The agencies, USGS, EMSC, or whoever it is, a 5.0 to a 5.9 magnitude earthquake is considered a large earthquake. A 6.0 to a 6.9 is considered to be a very strong earthquake. A 7.0 to a 10.0, 11.0, 12.0 is considered to be a major earthquake, meaning catastrophic damage. And what have we seen over in Haiti? Yes, I will let everybody realize that, yes, Haiti is a third world country. Their building standards are far below almost anywhere else in the world. Fortunately for them, this earthquake hit in the western mountains of Haiti. Port-au-Prince is 90 miles just barely south-southeast, 90 miles south-southeast before this earthquake struck yesterday. If this earthquake had struck in Port-au-Prince, the entire city would it be completely demolished. Now, Port-au-Prince is just barely starting to recover from the 2010 earthquake that was a 6.9. It was probably a lot stronger than that, but back then, I wasn't even keeping track of earthquakes. All I was doing is helping first responders either get to Haiti or helping them get other aid from the Red Cross or whoever to try to get them down there to assist the citizens and various churches, the Catholics, the Mormons, and everybody else. That's what I was doing, is helping people deploy down there to be able to help render aid. One of my buddies that now lives in Central America was one of those that deployed to Haiti. He wrote the book on earthquake and hurricane recovery. He knows it backwards, forwards, and upside down. Larry is an awesome resource for a lot of us. And right now, Larry and I are talking almost on a daily basis, and we're saying, and I put the word out yesterday on my Emergency Management Associates podcast on YouTube, that the world better get ready for a major earthquake. Now, what we are saying is Japan is going to get hit. South America, probably Valparaiso, Chile, Coquimbo, Chile, Ecuador, Peru, is going to get hit with at least a 6.5 to 7.0 magnitude quake, meaning a very strong to a major quake. And we expect it to happen within the next 5 to 7, maybe 10 days. But it's not just South America. Northern Mexico, Southern California, San Francisco, California, Northern California area is going to get hit by that. And we are expecting it to happen within the next week to 10 days. Okay? We're telling people to buckle down. Now, if it doesn't happen, I will be completely surprised. I will come back on the air with egg on my face. But considering what this planet is going through right now with a complete large earthquake scenario that's happening all over the planet, from Indonesia to the Philippines. The Philippines got rocked by a major earthquake just last week.
Put a pillow there.
The world is rocking and rolling right now, Ron. I've been sitting watching it, just blowing my mind. All this energy that's being expelled, it's got to be affecting other areas. I mean, some of these earthquakes are pretty deep earthquakes. And I know, and you know, that when we get deep earthquakes, that always comes to the surface as a more powerful earthquake. But to say that she's rocking and rolling right now, buddy, would be an understatement. It's insane.
Yeah.
It really is.
It is. in the South Sandwich Islands, the agencies are saying the South Sandwich Islands earthquakes have been very shallow earthquakes. They are lying through their frickin' teeth. That earthquake in the South Sandwich, it's been many, many earthquakes. And I'm talking, the South Sandwich Islands have probably seen 200 earthquakes in the past 72 hours.
Wow.
Now, that area is where these earthquakes occurred, is in the deepest oceanic trench in the world. They said it was a shallow earthquake. Let's think about this. The deepest oceanic trench in the world, and it happened 43 miles deep, deeper than the trench. I'm sorry, guys. That was a deep earthquake. That was a very deep earthquake. And it wasn't just one. It was like three major earthquakes back to back within about 30 to 60 seconds of each other. And it hasn't stopped shaking. We've had 5.0 to 5.9 earthquakes multiple times a day since that earthquake in South Sandwich Islands hit. Plus, we've had twos and threes and fours. Fours are considered moderate quakes. Threes are considered small quakes. twos are considered to be minor earthquakes. But to have that area hit with large quakes, 5.0 and larger since it hit, that means the energy is still moving. We had a 6.0 there yesterday on top of everything else.
Wow.
That's a very strong quake. And it's within 1 hour's time period after the first 8.1 that they denied happening, after the first 8.1 allegedly hit, we had an earthquake over in, it went west over south of Australia on the Antarctic Ridge, the Indian Ocean Antarctic Ridge. Within an hour, the energy from the South Sandwich Islands quake hit in the Indian Ocean.
Hmm.
That's thousands of miles west of the main quake. And we've had earthquakes east of there. We've had earthquakes north of there on the North Mid-Atlantic Ridge. And those quakes, guys, are large. They're 5.0 and greater. And we expect even larger energy to go up the North Mid-Atlantic Ridge. Now, in addition to that, we've seen activity in the Pacific Ocean, in the Ring of Fire. We've seen the Philippines light up. We've seen Indonesia light up. And we've got some volcanoes going, guys. If you haven't looked down in Java, Indonesia, just a week ago, we had a 12,000-foot blast from Merapi volcano, M-E-R-A-P-I volcano, in central Java. We've had multiple volcanic blasts from other volcanoes also in the Ring of Fire in the previous days. It's happening. Now we also have, and in case somebody didn't realize, we have 11 cascade volcanoes from Baker Volcano up on the border, well, just south of the border with Canada. Baker Volcano going south, we have Glacier Peak. South from there, we have Mount Rainier. South from there, we have Mount St. Helens. East from there, we have Mount Adams. South of Helens, we have Bachelor. We have Newberry. We have Sisters Volcano. We have Crater Lake south of there in Oregon. Well, Mount Hood. Mount Hood's also down there. I'm talking south of St. Helens, we have Oregon. We have Mount Hood at the north. And then we have Bachelor and Newberry and Sisters. And south central Oregon, we have Crater Lake.
Yep.
And all of those have been steaming for at least a year. And not to be outdone, but we have two volcanoes in Northern California, Shasta and Lassen, that have been steaming almost consistently since last year. And they've had numerous earthquakes around the volcanoes as well.
I did a study on the Cascadia there a few years ago, Ron, and I'm not trying to interrupt you here, but I just wanted to add to what you're saying there, is that the study I read told me that when one of the volcanoes on the Cascadia erupts, which Mount St. Helens did in 1980, within 80 to 100 years, and this is geological studies of time, of studying these volcanoes, that within 100 years, they all will erupt. And then they go into a quiet period. And that's how these volcanoes have been acting for thousands of years. So all of a sudden, we've got Helen going off, Rainier. Like you said, all these volcanoes are showing signs of becoming alive. And I believe we're going to see quite a few of them pop here in the next little while. But it's all due to the amount of seismic activity we're seeing in the world. I look at, I go to Climate Viewer 3D. I listen to Dutch talk on Dutch Sense a lot. I've talked to a few other sites, and they're all kind of reiterating exactly what you're saying right now, Ron, that we're seeing an upkick in earthquake activity that just boggles the mind. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, it's true. And, guys, we also have down in East Central California, we have Mammoth Mountain, which is a destination for summer and winter, packed with tourists right now, packed with tourists all year long, and it's a volcano. and it has also been steaming intermittently. It's also being hit with a lot of earthquakes. A lot. Now, they're not major earthquakes. They're not large earthquakes. But we've had twos, which are minor, threes, which are small. We've had fours hit Mammoth Mountain also, which are moderate earthquakes. All during the past year, heavy-duty earthquake activity. Now, usually I call heavy-duty 5.0 and larger. But in this case, we've had massive amounts of earthquakes. And not to be outdone, but just east of Mammoth Mountain, over on the border of California and Nevada, we have Long Valley Caldera, the Long Valley volcano.
Right.
Now, Long Valley is 20, they say Long Valley is 23 miles in diameter. Well, if you, now the consensus says that Mammoth Mountain could also be included within the Long Valley Caldera. And by the way, Long Valley is the second largest supervolcano in the United States.
Right, only next to Yellowstone. Yeah.
You know, but Long Valley is also steaming, and it's almost steaming daily, not even intermittent, but daily. And it also is getting hit with a lot of earthquakes, twos, threes, and fours. Now, let's go back up to Cascadia, because I want to talk for a few minutes about the Cascadia megathrust earthquake, the one that's going to be at least a 10.0 or larger. Okay? When that quake hits, now let's back up. Before that earthquake hits, the consensus is this. There's going to be at least two moderate earthquakes, 4.0 to 4.9, that hit the Cascade region in the mountains of Washington and or Oregon, two 4.0 or larger to 4.9 earthquakes within a week's time period. When that happens, and yes, we have had fours in those areas, but they're not consistent. They're not back-to-back like that. But what we're saying, we're going to have at least two 4.0 or greater earthquakes within a week of each other. That is going to be a signal that the Cascadia megathrust earthquake is about to hit. The other signal is an eruption of one of those main volcanoes, and I'm talking Glacier, Helens, or Baker, and it could be all three or just one. And that could happen. Now, the equivalent power of an erupting volcano is equal to or larger than a 5.0 large earthquake. So when that happens, folks, we're going to start looking for a Cascadia megathrust earthquake. Now, a friend of mine that has a YouTube channel as well, he he's in the process of putting together a documentary on the Cascadia megathrust earthquake. He's been talking about it for about a year and a half. And he did a 10-minute video presentation about 2 weeks ago. And he was over there on the coast of Washington. And the people, and I'm not going to name the town because I don't want to have people calling a police department saying, you guys don't know what's going on, and you guys don't have any care for us in the city or in our county.
Coast.
I don't want to subject the police departments or first responders to all sorts of criticism because they're not being told, honestly. But they don't even know much about the Cascadia megathrust earthquake or what could happen. What's going to happen when that earthquake hits? Folks, the towns along the coast and most of Washington and Oregon are two-lane highways. Most of them are two-lane highways except for Interstate 5. It runs all the way from Southern California to San Diego all the way up to the Canadian border. Now, folks, other than Interstate 5, people are going to try to escape the earthquake. They're going to try to escape the impending tsunami. Now, when the earthquake happens, it's going to destroy bridges. It's going to destroy roadways, great big huge fissures are going to open up in the ground and open up in the ground in the roadways, blocking automobile traffic. The only way you're going to escape going east is if you have a bicycle, a motorcycle, or a four-wheel drive vehicle, because the highways, the roadways, are going to be impossible to navigate. You're not going to be able to do it. You're going to have to go where cars don't go. And you may or may not be able to go too far either, because we don't know the condition of any of the ground that surrounds that area either. We don't know where the fissures are going to open up. We don't know what kind of damage or skyscrapers or buildings that are going to fall and block roadways and other passageways. We don't have that information. We're not going to. It's impossible to put that kind of information down right now. But what we can say is this is exactly what's going to happen. The ground is going to open up, and roadways are going to be blocked. You're not going to be able to get out of Dodge. What I'm trying to tell people, plus if we have that volcano that opens up as well, we're going to have falling ash. We're going to have mud flows coming from the volcano, hot pyroclastic mud flows coming down off the volcano, or volcanoes, plural. Those are also going to wreak havoc with rivers and streams and roadways. You don't know what's going to happen. I have dear friends in Washington State, a lot of them. Some of them are senior citizens. Some of them live in the cities. Some of them live out in the country, east of Rainier. I'm sorry, guys, and I love my friends, but they're going to, I hate to even say this, they're going to get screwed.
Well, you know,
not just friends. I've got relatives there.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ron, if somebody that didn't know what was going on was listening to you talk right now, they'd say you're a nutcase. But you know what? Everything you're saying right
I've
now.
I've been called worse.
Yeah, no, but you know what? I know for a fact that we could potentially see some crazy stuff happen here in the very, very near future due to what we see right now going on in the planet. The Cascadia is overdue. I've studied it for years, and my understanding right now is that it could be up to 60 to 70 years overdue for a major movement. That being said, all this other major movement we see going on in the planet right now, that energy is going out everywhere. And if that said, like you said, if the Cascadia does rupture to the potential that it has in the past, we are going to see a horror show like we've never, ever seen before. And you're right. Unfortunately, millions of people will not be able to escape the tsunami because of the breakdown of the infrastructure, man. Power poles, bridges, roads completely destroyed. A 10-point magnitude earthquake would just absolutely level the cities if it struck anywhere near close. My understanding, though, one question I was going to ask you about the Cascadia, and I've looked at this for quite a few years now, is my understanding is that it's about a 600-mile-long plate, and it when it fractures, my understanding is it will fracture the whole length of the plate if it has a major movement. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, you are.
Now, okay.
What we need to add to
Explain that to people, the potential, because that's the whole coast getting hit with a massive, massive earthquake. However long it takes to fracture, it travels at about 2,000 miles an hour. So the whole thing would basically rupture, my understanding is, in about 15 minutes from one end to the other. Go ahead.
Right. And that Cascadia subduction zone, guys, go look at the map. If you go up and pull up the USGS map, you look at the USGS current earthquake map showing the entire world. You zoom in on Washington, Oregon, and Northern California. It runs the entire scope from British Columbia, Vancouver Island, actually south, north of there, just south of Queen Charlotte Island. It runs all the way from there to Northern California to a place called Petrolia, California, where it meets up in with two other earthquake faults, one called the Gorda Escarpment, that runs west away from the California coast about 200 miles out to sea. Okay? The other fault that meets up with the Cascadia subduction zone is what we call the San Andreas Fault, one of the most dangerous earthquake faults in California, if not the most dangerous. Now, what's going to happen when the Cascadia megathrust earthquake opens up? And this was confirmed on December 23rd, 2019, at a conference with Chris Goldfinger from the University of Oregon. He's a renowned seismologist, a professor. And he said, quote, the megathrust earthquake could happen in the southern region of the Cascadia subduction zone, but it's more likely to happen up at the Juan de Fuca. And everybody believes, 99% of scientists believe that's where it's going to happen, is up west of Seattle-Tacoma area in the Juan de Fuca Fault. Now, that earthquake is going to reach down the entire length of two states into California, where it's going to hit the San Andreas Fault. It can trigger a megathrust earthquake on the San Andreas Fault, beginning where it meets up with the Juan de Fuca, or where it meets up with the Cascadia subduction zone. So the entire west coast of North America is going to be affected. It can open it up and destroy the place all the way down to the Mexican border. Now, the San Andreas Fault has been shaking, not to a huge extent. We've had anywhere from 1.0, which are minor tremors, all the way up to 4.3s along the San Andreas Fault just this year. When the Cascadia megathrust earthquake happens, it can trigger the San Andreas Fault.
Right. And
because of its location in San Francisco, it can trigger the Calaveras, the Hayward Fault, and all the other faults going south. It can nail the place.
Seems like the San Madre is acting up a lot right now, and the reports I've been listening to Mary Greenway talk on Yellowstone here in the last couple of weeks, she's doing all kinds of funky stuff right now.
Yes, it is.
It is. And, you know, Long Valley caldera that you talked about, Ron, that one report that I read, I want to ask you about this, is actually connected to the Yellowstone caldera. That caldera basically runs all the way from Yellowstone down to California. Am I correct?
That's the consensus.
They're not connected. That's the one. They are connected?
I don't think they're. We don't know.
Yeah.
It's a possibility. Now, why I say I don't know, and most people don't know, most scientists don't even know.
Right.
Let me take us back 2 years. Ever since we had the Ridgecrest earthquake hit, NASA has been flying their science instrument-laden plane up and down the California, Washington, Oregon coast, over in Japan, in Alaska, in Indonesia, and down into New Zealand and Australia. They've been mapping the faults. They've been mapping, and I'm sure that's happening because they've got the instrumentation on the plane. They know where the magma is in the volcano, or not the volcano, the magma chambers beneath the crust.
Right.
I'm sorry, I should have said beneath the crust. Inside the crust of the Earth. The crust of the Earth, for all intents and purposes, the crust of the Earth that we walk on is approximately 39 to 69 miles deep from where we walk on the surface. Okay? Inside that crustal area are magma tunnels or magma chambers that run to volcanoes. Some of these magma chambers run to areas that we don't even realize is a volcano. Why? Because during the glaciation period, millions of years ago, those volcanoes were washed down by ice, run down by ice. The cones no longer exist. However, those areas are being rocked by good-sized earthquakes. And in fact, it's not just that. We have observed seismograms put out by PNSN, Pacific Northwest Seismic Network. We've been watching seismograms. And there's one place in North Central Washington State where we've been watching seismograms for 2 years now. For the first time this year, we noticed what they call a magma churn signal, which is a large, almost a rectangular signature on a seismogram. And they can be small rectangular signatures. They can be larger. But we have seen a magma churn signal in the same area in Washington State. And before that happened a few months ago, we were thinking that this area was not a volcano, but it was getting heavy-duty volcanic signals and seismic signals. And we thought, there's got to be a volcano there. Well, just a couple months ago or whatever, about 2.5, 3 months ago, we had a magma churn signal that popped up. Since then, PNSN and USGS have been downplaying it and have obscured the seismograms. They have manipulated the seismograms where it no longer, they no longer report the true evidence activity of what is going on.
Right.
Activity. They're not reporting it. They did the same thing with Mount Baker a year and a half ago. When I first started reporting on Mount Baker, over a year and a half ago, Mount Baker was steaming like a 1950s steam engine, pouring steam into the atmosphere.
Huh.
Well, guess what? Now, if you go try to find a seismogram for Mount Baker, good luck.
Huh.
The seismogram, if you open up, if you go to PNSN and you print, you go to the site or the seismogram section, and it'll have a drop down menu. Click on seismograms, it'll have a drop down menu that says map. You click on map, it'll open up another page, and you type in MBW, which is a signature for Mount Baker, which is a the indicator for Mount Baker, the computer seismogram for Mount Baker. You go there and there's nothing there, but maybe a couple lines, 3 lines or 4 lines. But now every other day, they actually put up a seismogram that shows, it will actually show the steam activity at Mount Baker, although it has also been manipulated. So we don't know exactly what is true and what is false information. So we go to several other seismograms located on that same site. For example, there is another site called Shuksan, S-H-U-K. That's the abbreviation for Shuksan on the PNSN site. If you go there, you don't see all the steam, and you see manipulated earthquakes, manipulated seismic activity, all over the place, manipulated. So we see there's activity there, but some of it is manipulated. They're not showing the truth. So I've gone to another place, Mount Kendall, which is just right near Mount Baker. It's called Baker Kendall. All of a sudden now, Baker Kendall is also being manipulated because they don't want me to report in on it.
Hmm.
We start reporting on it, and all of a sudden they start manipulating it. So we know there's activity still at Mount Baker. It's steaming like a son of a gun. Glacier Peak, they've manipulated some of that, but not as bad as other seismograms. Glacier Peak, we can get a good, pretty good idea of what's going on there. And there's been some good-sized earthquakes there. Not large, but 2s and 3s. Quite a few of them. We go down to Mount Rainier. It's also one of these seismograms that's been manipulated where it might show 2 or 3 lines or an occasional manipulated activity, but nothing like it used to.
Yep.
So we go to other locations at Rainier.
So in a nutshell, Ron, why are they doing this? Why are they suppressing this data from the public? I'll get your answer on that. We've got about 5 or 6 minutes left, so I'm going to answer that, and then we'll have a couple more conversations, and I'll have to let you go, my friend. Go ahead. Why are they manipulating the data?
There's two things. One, they don't want to get the public agitated, because if they do, the public will leave. The public will get furious. The public will get upset. The public will get anxious. And they'll leave the area. Now, who is telling USGS not to get the information out? Politicians. Politicians in the area, in the regions, in the cities, in the counties. Why are the politicians anxious? Because they know if people find out the truth of what is actually going on, they're going to leave the area, which is going to dry up their money, where they're not going to be able to represent anybody, and their jobs are going to go away. So they're telling the agencies to manipulate the data so nobody is knowing exactly what is going on.
Correct.
So when there's going to be a major earthquake, a major volcanic blast, all of a sudden, nobody knows about it. Thousands, millions of people killed, people injured, and then they're going to wonder, why didn't we know about this? There should have been some indication that this was going to happen. You're right. There should have been, but there wasn't, because the information is being manipulated and withheld from the public. Mm. I have, in fact, had a seismogram that I was ready to download onto my database, and before I could download it, it would either disappear or it would be entirely manipulated. The truth was there, and then all of a sudden it was manipulated, because the agency found out that I was watching. I'm sure of it.
Hmm.
Because I've been reporting on this a long time now. They're monitoring me. They know exactly what I'm doing. I'm reporting it. And they're changing the data. Now I have to get data from various sites to get the truth.
Well, you're not alone, Ron. You're attacking everybody. And like you said, they don't want this information out there because it will panic the public. They're going to get, the public will get.
I had three death threats 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
I had three death threats within a matter of days 3 weeks ago. One person told me, and I have their telephone number, and I have no problem because they sent me a text with their telephone. I have the telephone and telephone number, and I turned it over to the FBI.
Wow. Unbelievable. Well, you're not alone, Ron. I mean, they're ramping up the censorship across the board. Like I said, they don't want people to know about this kind of stuff. You've hit on a lot of the things that I wanted to ask you about today, especially like Mount Rainier is doing funky stuff. I've been aware of that for a couple of years and how close that is to Portland. The Lahars off that alone will just devastate that area. But that's just one of many that are on the verge of going right now, I believe.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm going to...
They're in British Columbia.
So well, I know.
Volcano's also been thumping around, too.
Oh, I know. Hey, listen, I got one just north of me here, Ron. So if you see some activity just north of Terrace, give me a phone call, okay? Because I've got a volcano. I've got a volcano about 40 miles away from where I live. And the last time it erupted was about 1690, I think it was. And it completely covered the Nass Valley with about 20 to 50 feet of lava. Okay, so if it's going to go again, let me know. But you know what? I'm going to thank you, Ron, for what you're doing. I've been listening to your programs. I'm in there in your chat room quite a bit. And I got to thank you for bringing this information forward to the public, because a lot of people aren't aware of all this activity that is going on. You're not hearing about it on mainstream. It's being suppressed. So I got to thank you for what you're doing. And we got a couple minutes here, 1 minute, maybe 2 minutes left. Maybe you can tell people where they can find you and when you're on the air. And I recommend folks that you follow this gentleman. Go ahead, Ron.
You can find me. You can go to YouTube. The best way to do it is go to our program on YouTube, the Emergency Management Associates Tyler. That's the way YouTube has it listed. Emergency Management Associates Tyler. We are on the air at least Monday through Friday, somewhere time period after 6 p.m. Eastern time. And there's some things going on at the end of this week. I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to be on the air after Friday for a few days, I hope that's going to be solved with no problem. But usually I'm on the air sometime after 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. I'm usually on the air anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours telling people what is going on here in the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is not just a United States program. We are international and have been international for years now. We've been on the air. It's been 2 years and 8 months.
Cool.
How about that?
Cool. Well, keep it up, Ron.
It's a long time. We've got a website. You can find us in our program description. Our website's there. You can visit our website. We have one part of our website that's nothing but volcanoes. You can watch the volcanoes going off. There's earthquake information there round the clock. Everything's there. So,
well, thank you.
And our preparedness information about emergency preparedness, you can find that there too in the file sharing section.
Well, Ron, I'm going to thank you, sir, for coming in, like I said, on short notice today. And I'm going to have to say goodbye for now, but I'm going to get you back on here in the near future to continue this conversation. Great talk, man. Thanks a lot. And with that, I'll let you go. And I will be back, folks, in about 3 minutes with Kellyanne Wolf and Pat King. Hang on, because the next hour is going to be crazy. Thanks again, Ron, for joining me. Well, welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again to Ron Tyler for stepping in today and sharing some information about stuff that we should know about, especially with earthquake activities and volcanoes and all the other stuff we see going on. It's good to get a little heads up on it. It is absolutely my pleasure to have in for the second hour here Kellyanne Wolf. I haven't had a chance to talk to Kelly. Well, it's been over 2 months now. That's mostly my fault because I took off and hid in the bush for a while. But she's been frontline ever since I left and continues to just continually battle the government for what they're doing in this country. And we're going to be joined in a few minutes by Pat King. Kelly was at the rally yesterday in Quebec City, and I'm going to let her tell you about it. But we saw between 250 and 350,000 people on the streets yesterday in Canada. People are really starting to get it. Kelly, would that be an understatement? Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Barry. As always, it's always a pleasure. It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful, and I really do believe that Canada is starting to finally get what is going on here. I mean, with everything that has happened in Alberta, with everything that has happened now in Montreal, and the new implementation of these ridiculous vaccine passports that are only going to further strip people of their lives, oppress our children, you know, cut jobs, lose homes, and cause more chaos on a social mass scale. I do believe that this country is finally starting to get their nerve back. And the reason I say nerve back is because growing up in Canada, there was a sense of pride to being Canadian that we all shared. And it was displayed through, you know, through the hockey commercials. It was through Molson Canadian commercials. It was displayed every single year on Canada Day when the entire country would just rise up in unity, forget their differences, forget divisions, and come together as a free nation that was an example of freedom and evolution to the rest of the world. And I'm starting to see that energy again. And I definitely, absolutely felt it yesterday in Montreal. And so I want to send my love out to everybody in Montreal. I am back now in Alberta, but my heart is with our French. Absolutely. I am so proud of them. I'm so very proud of them. So
I heard the energy.
And Chris Skye, I have never been more proud of another human being in my life than I was of Chris Skye yesterday. He was, he's been attacked at every single level, especially over the last few months. I mean, opposition is definitely rising within the movement. We've been infiltrated by both political infiltrates, and there's a lot of paid provocateurs in every province, and they've infiltrated every organization that has been taking serious actions. And it's a very difficult time now, because especially with Trudeau calling the next election, planning on dissolving Parliament on September 20th, the stakes are high for these guys, because Canadians, and I'm so validated in how intelligent our population is, but Canadians are starting to pay closer attention. But, you know, our work is far from over. I mean, we need people to start organizing across the country and putting information pamphlets into mailboxes in their own communities everywhere, and giving more Canadians access to resources. I mean, we have the chief medical officer of health, for Alberta, admitting on open public record that there's a possibility that COVID-19 does not even exist. Dina Henshaw, in her own words, has declared she has opened an investigation into the existence of COVID-19. Now I'll let Pat explain more about that afterwards.
Yeah.
But I mean, that this is so significant, because although there, you know, Pat lost his case, it was so significant because we now have on court transcripts a chief medical officer of health declaring that she does not have any evidence behind the crafting of the Public Health Act has been the absolute cause of all the devastations in our economy, in our society, the oppressions to our children. There is no science behind the acts that impose these restrictions. And if that happened in Alberta, then you can bet your golly carcass that it has absolutely happened in every other province.
Mm-hmm.
So we have every single one of our organizations on our nationwide network rising up and taking full legal actions against their public health ministries and their chief medical officers. We are going to start challenging the public health acts in every single province, and we need the support of everybody.
Absolutely.
We need public pressure. Yeah.
We've got to hold these people to account for what they've done to us.
Yeah. Excuse my sniffling. My allergies are extremely bad today. Extremely bad.
That's okay.
I know I'm one of the most maskless people in Canada, but I did have to get on an airplane, and that mask, for some reason, has my nose running like Coyote, like from Looney Tunes.
So they absolutely wouldn't allow you on the flight without a mask?
No, they would not. They would not. And now that they've implemented these vaccine passports, it is only a matter of time before you're going to need a vaccine passport in order to or an airplane anywhere in Canada.
How much closer do we have to get to "Where's your papers, old man" before people understand what's going on in our country? We're Germany 1935 right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, we absolutely are. It's ridiculous. And we need, I'm not going to say we need the Nuremberg Code. We need an evolved version of the Nuremberg Code to happen here in Canada. And all it takes is for the people to get the nerve to stand up for themselves and just say no. That's it. That's all. I mean, if you look at what happened, you remember when Chris Sky did the thing with the airport and he was only one man and he refused to go to the isolation, you know, hotels and all that stuff, but he recorded what he did live and it went viral. And since then, hundreds of thousands of Canadians have copied that example. And what happened 3 days ago? There's no longer isolation hotels. Why? Because united non-compliance. It is the most important thing. There's one way and only one way to end this, and it's united non-compliance. There is no political solution.
Absolutely.
Nobody that you vote for cares to change or to end these restrictions. They only care to control it. That's all they want. They want the power to control those restrictions. No matter what, show me a single time in history that a population has ever voted themselves out of tyranny.
Well, you know, fear is the virus, Kelly, and how they're ramping this up now with the new variants that are showing up. They're telling us that these variants are stronger than the original. Well, everything they're doing contradicts any science as far as pathogens go, because we know for a fact that they don't get stronger, they get weaker. But now we've got the Delta and the Alpha. We'll be seeing variants here for the next 2 years, and they'll continue to get stronger, and they'll continue to ram this up our throats until we all stand up. And you're right, there's more of us than there is of them. And I'm glad to see Canadians are starting to get it now, Kelly. They really are. I had conversations with people that were inspiring. Go ahead.
I'm so sorry, Barry. I'm so bad for that. But the most important part about all this variant this and variant that is the fact that we now have a chief medical officer admitting that there is no scientific data to prove that COVID even exists.
I know.
So if that doesn't exist, then none of these variants exist.
But the problem is trying to get that through to the public, man. They still are walking around believing that. I'm dealing with people every day that still believe that. Well, you start talking about anti-vaccine to them, and they think you're a monster. Go ahead.
Well, let me give the public some resources then. I will challenge everybody in the public who hears this podcast and this radio show to Google Christine Massey and COVID-19 and then click images. Christine Massey last year had correspondence with every public health ministry in the country and got in their own admission in formal writing on letterhead that they had no proof of the existence of SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19. It is her work that has been used in the case in Alberta And it is her work. It's her evidence that we have been using in cases, thousands of cases across the entire nation. And now it's spreading across the world as well, which is fantastic because that is what Canada is supposed to do. We don't want to be the country, the nation that leads other nations to slavery. We want to be the nation that leads other nations to freedom.
Well, we've been the envy of the world for many, many years, Kelly, and we're fighting now to keep that. We know what we're up against, and what we're up against is something that's very, very, very evil. How's Pat doing over there? Is he woken up yet?
Well, let me give a check. I'm going to give him a little peek. He's up. Give me just one moment. Yeah, we had a very, very long day yesterday and a long flight back. So he's just in the washroom. He'll be ready in a couple of minutes.
Sure. Sure. So, well, you know what? We've got all kinds
of exciting things happening. I mean, on, what is it, September 18th, I would like to formally invite everybody in Canada to come to our capital. We are having a worldwide rally event on Parliament Hill. Our French are joining us, so you can guarantee there's going to be thousands of Canadians there. I believe Pat King is going to speak to the oil and gas industry and try to arrange another motorcade across the country, because it's not just these restrictions and all the repercussions of the so-called pandemic that we're fighting here. We are fighting all of the tyranny, all of the issues. This government is incompetent, and they need to resign, and they need to allow room for competent, qualified people to take place in Parliament. This is what needs to happen.
Well, I wouldn't say they're incompetent, Kelly. They're doing exactly what they're being directed to do every day of their life. So maybe, yeah, incompetence would be a word for them. But I think, you know, that a lot of them are a lot smarter than we give them credit for, or they pretend to be, okay? Because they know exactly what they're doing to this country. But they are incompetent, for sure.
I'm going to stick with incompetence, because we have a graphic designer as a public health minister, a drama teacher as a prime minister, and that is like, give me a break. Like, you know, how do you get fired from being a drama teacher? You get fired because you committed a sexual assault on your 17-year-old student and signed a $6 million non-disclosure agreement. We have a human trafficking and child trafficking problem in Canada, and Pandora's box is about to blow wide open across this country. And certain members of our Freedom Network are putting their lives in serious danger by doing so, but it's necessary. So when it comes to waking up Canada, I mean, pay attention, Canada, because there's a lot that you've missed. They keep us so indoctrinated and so distracted and so worried about making sure we meet, you know, make ends meet, making sure our kids are okay and their mental health is stable, that, you know, in a time of such oppression, that all these other things, right, they're too distracted to notice.
Well, of course. Well, they're the masters of distractions.
And they need to notice. They need to notice, because there is more power in a unified people, and there's more power in the people than there is in anyone who proclaims to want to control them.
Well, of course, our biggest enemy in this country, Kelly, is the mainstream media. And if we could just recapture the public attention and get this information to them, you'd see the change we need come. It would come overnight. If people really, really knew what was going on in this country and the threat it represented to their children and their way of life in the future, you'd see them rise up. Yep. But they're still being brainwashed and held in the dark. And until we can fix that problem, we still have an uphill struggle. When you control the media, you control you control the public when you control the media. Even though there's lots of us out there right now that know what's going on, we're still dealing with the people that go home and watch CBC every night, think that diarrhea, and go to bed, you know?
Yep.
We got to take CBC out of business. Let's go shut them down. Let's get 100,000 people around CBC headquarters and demand their resignation, because we're paying their salaries and all they're doing is destroying Canada. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, we have two organizations that are working together trying to lasso back in all of the active organizations around the entire nation. One is called Freedom Rising, and if you log on to freedomrising.info, you will see a list of all of the influencers and organizations across the nation that are very, very active on all fronts. I mean, legally, but when it comes publicly, like, you know, and when it comes to holding accountability to the people responsible for putting us in this situation. And the other one is the Canadian Democratic Defense Association. It's a brand new group. And this association intends to become an oversight committee for the next sitting government, a government built by the people. So this information is going to take an entire another show. So we'll elaborate on it on a later date. And okay. I will give you the man of the hour because he is now up and at him. And I'm sure all of your listeners would love to hear from him. Yes, we're on the phone right now. He's like, poor Pat, he's been so busy. I know.
Well, I haven't had a chat to talk to Pat for a couple months, so I'm looking forward to it. Is he on the air?
Go easy on him, Barry. Go easy on him, listeners. He's, you know, he's been very, very, very busy. So I love you guys all very, very much. Stay very diligent. Stay vigilant. And just stay tuned. So, one
Absolutely.
Second.
Hey, Barry, how are you?
Mr. King, how are you doing today?
Well,
a little groggy. I understand.
A little groggy now, yeah.
I got filled in the fact that you had a late day, and what went on yesterday was incredible, Pat. I wish I could have been there because Kelly told me about the energy, and of course I've heard it from three or four other people that the energy there was just incredible. And I can say it's about time, brother. It really is. So listen, you've been really ruffling a lot of feathers here in the country in the last couple of weeks, Pat. And a lot of people listening to the show today probably don't really know what's gone on in your life here in the last little while. So maybe you could start right from the beginning and tell people what's gone on here that's got everybody kind of running around in circles right now. And welcome back to the show, Pat.
Thanks, Barry. I guess the only thing I could say is we're asking the questions now that politicians, lawyers, and other people are refusing to ask. We're asking for the proof of the isolation of the virus, and I was able to do that in the court of law, and as well I subpoenaed our chief medical officer of health, Dina Hinshaw, here in Alberta, Canada, to provide me that information. And upon doing so, they tried every dirty slime ball tactic they could in the courtroom to attempt to not have to be accountable for what they've done, but they didn't do it without getting them on the record stating that they don't have the proof of the virus. So we basically have the government of Alberta admitting that they don't have the material evidence we are requesting. That's the exact words that wording in the documents that they provided for me. And we have them on the record from the judge even stating as well, the judge asking, or I asked the judge, Your Honor, I just want on and for the record again, you did let me know that these guys don't have the evidence. And the judge says, yes, Mr. King, you're right. They do not have the material evidence you're requesting. And that in itself is money. That's in the court of public opinion. That's what matters. And now we have it. And now our own Dina Hinshaw is opening up an investigation after a week after my court date, is opening up an investigation herself on the existence of COVID-19 in Alberta. Hmm. So I don't believe in coincidences in politics. I believe 100% that these corrupted officials that we have are running scared now, and they know we know. And now it's just a matter of getting this information out to the people and teaching the people exactly what they need to do to get their answers. People need to start asking these questions. There's no reason why you can't ask these questions. These are what we're here for. We hire these officials to do these jobs. We put them in these positions. Well, why can't we question them?
Well, especially when our world's being turned upside down by draconian measures being implemented by these health officials, they have to be able to give us absolute proof of it because they've absolutely destroyed our society in the last 18 months, Pat. I mean, they've got this country reeling right now in so many different ways that they have to be held accountable. And I just take my hat off to you guys for bringing this forward, making people aware of maybe the legal avenues we can go forward with that can really make a difference in putting a stop to this.
Yeah, well, the best thing we can do now is educate these people and educate people around us and what they need to do and how to go about this. And that's what our goal is now. See, I may not have won in court. I lost my ticket due to a procedural violation or due to a jurisdictional challenge. I lost my ticket. And I still have to pay a $1,200 fine. And that's okay. It's a ticket. But it's the importance of that, that what the significance of it is what we did. We also had two attorney general prosecutors from Ottawa that were in there for a provincial $1,200 ticket. Now, why do you have two attorney general prosecutors from Ottawa taking part in a provincial ticket matter that has no bearing on them? Because we ruffled the feathers, like you said, Barry. We poked the bear, and the bear is not mad, and the bear is not happy. So we were able to get them to admit it, and I'm sorry. Whether I won or lost, it didn't matter. It's what we set in the courts and what we got on record is what matters.
So do you have the transcripts of this yet, Pat? Are you getting transcripts of this?
I have the transcripts up until May 4th. Right now, the courts are dicking me around. We put in three procedural requests via lawyers to get the recordings as well as get the transcripts for July 21st trial. And right now, the courts are saying, one minute they're saying, we don't even have his name. We don't have the courtroom. We don't have this. We don't have that. They're lying. And the reason they're lying and the reason why they're backpedaling is because they know what's in those transcripts. And they know when I put those out there, the whole world's going to explode. And also what they're going to do is on these July 21st transcripts is they know there's the grounds for an appeal. And what they're trying to do is hold it back so that I go past my 30 days and I can't appeal my charge. So there's something that we've got already in place. And we don't care. We're waiting for these transcripts. We'll get them. We get them. When we eventually get them. We file what's called, I don't quote me on the exact term, the lawyers know it, but I think it's called the Bradley Act. And that is when a court purposely holds back your documents so that you can't file an appeal. That's been proven in court that they've done this and this is what they do. Well, we know that we can file that and we'll be able to reopen the case under an extension. So that's what we're doing right now. This has become so big and so powerful right now that I don't blame them for trying to hide it or trying to keep the documents away from me. They're scared, and they should be. And everybody out there, all your listeners, you should know we got them against the wall. We got them against the ropes. And it's going to take more people to do this. It's going to take thousands more people to do this. I'm just one guy. I took a shot. I tried it. I did it under self-representation. The reason we have lawyers now is because we need to know the exact route that we need to take in the future for what we're doing. But what they did do in the May 4th transcripts and to the July 19th transcripts is they taught us what we needed to do, what we needed to file, which direction we needed to go. So that is what I'm trying to tell people. Look at what is in the court documents. Don't look at it as a win-loss. It has nothing to do with a win-loss. It has everything to do with what the courts told us that we, the people, need to do. And that is the best part. By self-representing, a judge has to advocate for you. They have to tell you the direction you need to go. They have to tell you how you're to do your filings, how to do your subpoenas. And we got them. We got them 100%. And it was a great day. And, been really busy. We've been just got back from Montreal, and I was trying to have a nap. I had no idea we were coming on to this. I apologize to your viewers if I sound a little groggy.
It's okay. I'm glad to have you on, Pat, because I know a lot of people want to hear what's going on. This has raised a lot of attention. We're all looking for a mechanism to fight back against this tyranny, and what you're talking about today can inspire a lot of people. I got one question, though. Is there any civil suits in the works right now?
Well, right now...
That's one of the questions I'm getting. Cases.
Yeah, one of the cases. So what we did now is we've learned that we need to do what's called a challenge to the Public Health Act. Under that challenge to the Public Health Act, it's a judge's duty to subpoena the government officials. So under the challenge to the Public Health Act, the judge subpoenas whoever's in charge of the Public Health Act, which would be your chief medical officers of health or whatever. Once we get that and we get them in court and we have them on the stand, then we'll know. Then at that point, we will know when they basically give it up, which is what we already have, but they need to get that person on the record to admit that. Once they admit that, then that opens the ground for what's called malfeasance, which means every Canadian will be able to sue every government official for everything that's happened. And we will have some of the largest lawsuits in the world. And that is what we're trying to do. Now, what people are doing across Canada, across Europe, across South Africa, across Australia. People are reaching out to me from all around the world, and they are like, yes, this is what we need to do. Lawyers are contacting me going, attaboy, this is what people are doing now. They are doing this in their own countries. And they're setting it from what I laid down. And that's all I tried to do. I tried to lay down what's like the foundation, the roadmap for people to take in the right direction to get this open. And we've got it. And people are running with it all over. Wait, just wait. There will be criminal lawsuits coming. The reason I did the way I did is because I know under constitutional law, this would have got thrown out. I didn't want to do a constitutional challenge. Because we all know there's no constitution here in Canada. There's a constitution for the Corporation of Canada. And there isn't a constitution for we the people by the people. So when they do constitutional challenges, they throw these court cases right out. I didn't want these court cases thrown out. I want them in court. And I want them in a criminal court. And that's what I did. I was able to represent myself, in a criminal court of law, which I asserted immediately on the first day of my court, of my trial. And I asked the judge, is this a court of law? Or is this a court for the administration for the Corporation of Canada? And the judge says right on it, you're Mr. King, this is a court of law. Well, there we are. We got him in a court of law. We have a lot more rights, and we have a lot more things that we can do now.
There's going to be a lot of people asking questions about this going forward. I know that, Pat. So you're telling me as an individual I could challenge the public health officials in British Columbia?
That's correct. And why couldn't you? You put those officials in a position. Why can you not ask that? Why can you not challenge that? And if you go into the courts and you get a bunch of thousands of people behind you to do that, they cannot not listen to you. They have to listen to you at that point. So you get your community, you get your groups, you get all your groups, and you file these challenges to the Public Health Act. And then tell them you want to know if this is fraud or if this is real. And that's how you do it. And everybody can do it.
Well, kind of a lot for me to take in, Pat. I'm not a legal type of person. One of my my strong points in life is understanding legal jargon. So,
That's what they're betting on.
That's what they prey on. That's what they prey on. I know they've set it up so that we don't understand it, that we're lost in court unless we do have a lawyer, and the lawyers are all on their side anyway, so we're really up against it, right? 100%. But, you know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, but, you know, this is definitely inspiring a lot of people to become active, Pat, and if there was ever a time in history that people really had to start getting involved with what's going on here to put a stop to it, this would be the time, buddy, because they are really, really out of control right now with the installation of vaccine passports. Well, here comes, where are your papers, old man? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's illegal, right? They can't do that. Under the Nuremberg Code, Section 6, that's illegal. And people are forgetting about what our veterans set in place for us, what our men and women of our armed forces set in place for us after World War II. This was all established back in 1946 and 48 during those trials.
Right.
And these things were not allowed. And now you've got experimental testing on our children, experimental testing on our adults, on our elderly. You're allowing this to happen. And you think this is because the government knows your best interest and the government knows what they're doing. Since when has anybody ever trusted the government? Prior to Justin Trudeau getting into the office, the poll was done through CBC and I think another group. There was a poll done. 85% of people didn't trust their government. Now all of a sudden everybody's flocking to these clinics, flocking to these positions where they need to get these jabs because the government said so. What the hell is wrong with people? People are stupid, and I'm more and more in this world. People are as dumb as rocks. And if you're that stupid to go get an experimental jab and you're going to go and do that, then you deserve everything you get. Step out of my way. Let me stop this. Let me do what I got to do to protect my family and my kids. I don't care. You want to get a needle? Go get a needle. I'll see you in a couple of years and see how you're doing. I'm sorry, but I'm not letting myself and my family get it.
Well, they're pushing it harder and harder, and they're going to try and implement these vaccine passports across the country, Pat. We know what we saw yesterday in Montreal was inspiring. We need the whole country right now to stand up and say, hey, this ain't going to happen. And I hope we do, because if not, boy, we are going down a very, very, very dark path. They're not going to stop.
It's going to be the most darkest path we've ever seen.
Look, I don't even want to think about what would be the future if we don't put a stop to this, Pat. I don't want that for my children. I know you don't want it for your friends or your family. And we're going to do everything we can to stop it. But really, I find it very, very frustrating, my friend, that all this information's out there, and yet intelligent people that call themselves intelligent people still aren't looking at the other side of the story, that they continue to digest what the medical so-called professionals are telling them. Why is that? Yeah. Why can't people take, and really, Pat, all you got to do is, you know, go on the internet, folks, and punch in the Great Barrington Declaration and see how many doctors are screaming right now at the top of their lungs to avoid this at all costs. But you never hear a word about that on mainstream, not a single opposing word against this whole regiment and being rolled out on us. The part that bothers me the most, Pat, is they're coming after our kids. What'd they just say in Ontario? Ontario, now, I read two reports, but apparently 40% of children between 12 and 18 have now been vaccinated in Ontario. Is that correct? Are these the numbers that I'm seeing? If that's the case, we're committing genocide against our children, Pat. This is absolute insanity.
I can't back up that number. I can't back up what you're saying. I haven't read that. Like I said, I've been traveling and stuff, but I can say this much. I have seen documents that doctors were receiving, because after what we did, I've had a lot of people come up and tell me they're ready to ruin their careers because they've been threatened and they've been told that they can't talk about this and can't talk about that. They're not allowed to push this medicine. They're not allowed to push that medicine. If they do, they will be disbarred. If they do, they'll have their credentials taken away. They have gone as far as threatening our doctors. Now we learn something else now. We learn there's an act called S-102, which is the Discrimination Act against gene therapy and mRNA and all that kind of stuff. I highly recommend that a lot of people start looking at this act. It's called S-102. It was written in 2017 by a senator, and a senator had it pushed in. Now, did this senator know what we were doing, know what was coming up, coming down the pipeline? Did they know that's why they put this kind of stuff in place? I really think they did. I think they've known about this for a lot of years, that this was the plan. And we know how these people act. They always know 5 to 10 years in advance what's coming. And I know this because I've seen it in my own industry, in the oil and gas industry, where companies close their doors. And I'm like, why are you closing your doors? Why are you selling your companies off? Like, you're doing really good. Oil's booming. And all of a sudden, a couple years later, boom, everything crashes. And you're like, you sons of guns, you knew what was coming. These groups know what's happening in the world. They're higher up, and they know in their channels and in their echo chambers of their elite little club that they belong to, they know what's coming. The downfall is they weren't expecting people to push back. They were expecting people to just sit down and take it. Well, I don't know. It's not a Canadian's repertoire to sit back and take this. It's our duty to stand up and fight for these kids. If we don't, then who are we? Who are you? If you're not going to stand out and fight for your children, who the hell are you? You deserve nothing but what's coming, and you deserve everything that's coming, because this is bull. And I'm, pardon me, man, but I get really frustrated when I hear this, and I'm sick of dealing with stupid people. And I've seen some freaking stupid people in this to allow this to happen. We had a conversation with the stewardess today, and stewardess today was saying to us, oh, well, I'm double vaxxed. I made sure to get my vax, because we just wanted to get going. It has nothing to do with just get going. If you all would have stood together and stood your ground and said, no, we're not going to do it, they would have went, oh, okay, well, I guess we're not. We're going to lose all our employees. Do it. Stand up. Stop being pussies, man. Stop.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody, well, I share your frustration. Well, I do. I share your frustration, Pat, because, you know, and I'm basically, my head's sore from banging against the wall, that people just can't seem to get what's going on around them, that this is so obvious. If you really, if you look at the playbook, and the playbook is the Communist Manifesto, and I tell people all the time, that's one book. Well, that's one book that I read. I read it about 5 years ago, Pat, and it really kind of crossed the T's and dotted the I's exactly where they were going with society. You're right. This vaccine was in the works for many, many years before it was announced to the public. It's what they're using to bring society to its knees. It's what they're using to bankrupt our country and destroy our social fabric. Everything that we cherish as being Canadians, everything we love in life, is being taken away from us for something that doesn't exist. And why people can't get it, Pat, I just don't know. I don't know. I ask myself every day, what's wrong with people?
Well, the people that have even gotten the jabs already and got their needles, they need to be asking the question. Okay, we have a medical officer of health who's openly stating that they're opening an investigation into the existence of COVID-19 after some Joe Schmo oil rig guy decided to ask that question in a court of law, and they proved that they didn't have the evidence. So these people who have already got the jobs, they should be pissed right off. They should be mad. Well, I went and got this under the guise that you guys told us that there was a pandemic, and now we know that there's not a pandemic.
Well, wait a second.
They're rising up.
It doesn't stop you from getting it. It doesn't stop you from giving it to somebody else. Under their own admission, Pat, all this does is if you do get this so-called killer virus, it'll make the symptoms a little less, a little bit more tolerable. That's all this is supposed to do for you, folks. And why are you sticking this in your arm? Why are they doing that already?
I've dealt with it. I know what it is. It's the cold and the flu, and I dealt with it, and it was gone within 3-4 days. If you're telling me this is enough to take down the whole world, well, then the whole world is made of jello because this is not what it is. This is a ridiculous joke in my mind. And for people to just openly say, hey, stick me in the arm with this. You're nuts. I was almost going to use a bad word, but you're nuts.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of watching stupidity and stupid people in this world who just want to just blindly turn a blind eye to everything and not want to stand up and question what's going on. And if you're that stupid and you don't want to question, well, then I'm sorry. You deserve everything you get. I have no patience for stupidity anymore. And I'm sorry. I'm putting my foot down and I apologize. It might offend some people, but you know what? I'm done offending people. If you get offended by something like that, then you're just as bad as the rest of them. Grow a pair of balls, stand up for your rights, learn what your rights are, first of all, and then stand up and tell them no. And if they do have this proof, well, then prove it. Prove it. Why will you not prove it? The best thing they could do to get in front of this, to stop all the negative people who are saying this doesn't exist, well, then come out and prove it. But you can't. And that's the best part about it. And this is what I was told before I went into court. A good lawyer always knows the answer to the question before he asks it. And I already knew the answer to the question when I asked that question. They can't isolate it. They've never isolated it, and they never will. People will keep sending me documentation. Oh, they isolated it here. They isolated it there. If you look at my transcripts, I asked for the specific isolation of the virus, specifically in a dead human patient, where it has been taken out of that patient and worked on. What everybody's sending me is, oh, they cultured it in a lab. Oh, they grew it in a lab. Oh, they grew it on a computer system. Oh, they grew it. They've isolated it. No. That's not how you isolate a virus, ladies and gentlemen. I ain't no virus person. I ain't no immunologist. I ain't a virologist. But I've talked to them, and I've worked with them, and I've heard what they've told me, and I've used what they've told me, and look what's happening. The whole world knows now, and the whole world is pissed off.
Well, so they should be, Pat, because they've taken our world and turned it upside down. What they've done to our children, that's the part that bothers me the most. You saw the reports of them withdrawing those masks off the market after being on the market because of graphene and what that does to the human body. We allowed children to wear these masks in school for, what, 12 months before they took them off the market? That alone, Pat, the impact on their health going forward. I've been reading reports about inflamed hearts in young people, especially the ones that are getting vaccines. And you don't hear a single word about that on mainstream, but it should be something that's on every TV station and radio station tonight about the effects of these vaccines on the hearts of these young children. You want to talk on that for a minute? Because that is absolute insanity, what they're doing.
Yeah. There's not even just that. Look at what's in these vaccines. There's one called SM-102, and that is a known carcinogenic. That known carcinogenic is not even available for, it's not even to be touched by humans. And they got that as one of the main ingredients in these vaccines. This is going to give cancer. This is going to give ailments. This is going to destroy your immune system. And people don't realize that this is what they're going for. They're going to lower your immune system so that when something does come out, such as the common cold or another flu, this is going to kill you. And that's what they're doing. This is population control. This is everything that you want to know about population control with the death of millions and millions of people. This is how they're going to do it. And just wait. It's coming. I don't care. I'm not a tinfoil hat wearer anymore. I'm running out of conspiracies because all conspiracies are coming true.
We were nuts years ago, but we're not so crazy anymore because people are starting to pay attention, Pat. They really are. You know, when you factor into that equation what they can do with nanotechnology now that, you know, we don't know how far they're advanced in nanotechnology. We know what we know now, but we also know that their technology could be 10 years ahead of what we actually possess right now. Take that into consideration, what they can do with nanotechnology in these shots and these tests. We just have no idea what they're doing, but they know exactly what they're doing. You know, I say to people, Pat, you know, one of the things that people really should think about, and it's common sense, that all this is coming from China. in an indirect way or in a direct way. They're making our test kits. Mm-hmm. They're making our vaccines. They're producing about 80% of the prescription drugs in North America now are produced in China. They're basically running the World Health Organization. They're mandating all these changes in our society, and it's coming from our enemy. And that's what people really have to understand is China is not our friends, that they're our sworn enemies, and it's being implemented through, like I said, the World Health Organization, Theresa Tam, and the whole lot are all on board with what's going on. It's all changing our society in ways that are just absolutely devastating, friend. With the suicide rates in children, I was looking at that. That just drives me nuts. Go ahead.
You ask your viewers this. Sorry to interrupt, but ask your viewers this one. If we're not the guy, if we're the people that are out there, we're fighting this, we're not getting tested. Who's getting tested? Where are these numbers coming from? Now, we've proved that there's no isolation of a virus. Now, what is the Delta variant? If you don't have a virus, what's this Delta? And how are you testing it? The PCR tests you've already revoked. You've already pulled them away. You just said these PCR tests aren't working. Well, how are you testing for these Delta variants? Call the doctors. Call these clinics. Ask them what they're using for the test. And they'll say, PCR test. Well, the PCR test has been it's been pulled off the shelves. You're not using the PCR test anymore. And they'll be like,
Well, hey, wait a second. Hold on.
It's the guy absolutely that... dumbfounding.
Well, the guy that invented the PCR test, he actually got a Nobel Peace Prize, but it was never, ever, ever designed to detect the pathogen. We know that. And all of a sudden, he came up and made a public statement, and all of a sudden, he was dead. Imagine that, Pat.
And he's dead.
Pat? Yeah, and then he was dead. Isn't that crazy? Another coincidence.
Yeah. Look at the poor presidents who refused to push the vaccines in their countries. There's four presidents. I can't remember exactly. Look it up. Four presidents that didn't want the jabs, didn't want the vaccines in their countries. They're all dead.
Imagine that. There's more coincidences. So
it's really smoky here. I'm coughing. The fires are coming in from BC to Alberta here right now, and the smoke's really bad. My eyes are on fire. My lungs are burning.
Wow. Well, whereabouts in Alberta are you? Whereabouts?
Just Red Deer. Red Deer.
Wow.
But it's like a fog right now. It's so bad.
Yeah, somebody else, Jürgen Valrath, messaged me today and said the same thing. He says, you can't believe the smoke. He can't see the hills. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
No,
when I was doing Morels there, Pat, it was that bad. We couldn't see the hills. We couldn't see the mountains. And our lungs were burning and our eyes were burning. It was that bad. Worst fires we've ever seen. And it's funny because last year we didn't have a single fire in British Columbia. And this year, the whole province is on fire. What's happening? What's happening? You don't think some of these are being set, Pat?
100%. They're all being set.
If you don't, they're being set and caused on. They're going to blame climate warming, man. It's all our fault that these fires are happening, folks. That's where they're going with this. Go ahead.
Why are they putting all these fires in there and not letting people fight them? Okay. What's the next one we're going to argue? Climate crisis. Carbon tax. Well, now look at the carbon meters. We have an increase of carbon in the atmosphere. Carbon is out the roof. We need to inundate all these companies with their greenhouse gases and their exposures. You lit the forests on fire when they're burning. The byproduct is carbon. It's in the atmosphere. It's in all your sensors. It's in all your monitoring devices from these fires, not from the greenhouse gases that are being emitted.
Right. When did carbon become our enemy?
It's common sense. And there's a lot of people who forgot what common sense was. And it's one
thing we talked
about on the rigs. You can't teach common sense anymore. Well, people, you need to start relearning how to think about common sense and not put your finger where you shouldn't put your feet. You know, this is enough. Wake the hell up. This is enough. I can't stand it anymore. I live in a world full of stupid people.
Well, they got to make a vaccine for stupid people, because that's one that I would support 100%. And when did carbon become our enemy?
It's not never our enemy. There's the key. Yes. So why would you want carbon out of the atmosphere? And we've all learned in grade 2 science that trees eat up the carbon, the byproduct
from the carbon oxygen.
During photosynthesis.
Imagine that. Oxygen.
Well, we need to our environment full of oxygen so that we can breathe. It's pretty smart.
pretty smart how them trees work.
I read one report gave us the actual concentration of carbon particles in the atmosphere right now, Pat, and two reports actually I read told me that we had between 400 and 600 parts per million right now of carbon concentration in the atmosphere. Optimal for growth in the planet's around 1800 parts per million. So we're actually at a very low concentration of carbon. At 200 parts per million, plants stop growing. And yet we are paying the government. We're paying the government for a carbon tax. Look at our gas prices. They're just shoving this right up our yin-yang, Pat. And people are taking it.
Shut down during this COVID pandemic. We're all shut down. Nobody's working. Everybody's stuck in their houses. And they went and increased the carbon tax while you were sleeping. Nobody batted an eyelash at that.
And he's going to do it again.
And then they gave themselves all a raise. They gave themselves
for doing such a good job.
Wow. People, I'm asking everybody who's listening on all levels. I know some people might be like, this is hilarious. This is redundant. This is dumb. I don't care. Start asking these questions. What happened to asking questions? There may be a lot. There's never a stupid question, but there may be a lot of stupid answers. And the answers that we're getting that are the most dumbest and the most stupid are coming from our government officials. And then you got to start asking yourself, well, why? Why are they doing this? And if you go down that rabbit hole, you start doing your research, you're going to find out why, and you're going to be mad as hell. And it's about time. It's about time that Canadians, North Americans, worldwide, it doesn't matter. It's time people start getting pissed off and start asking these questions and start looking for the answers. Because these government officials, they're not going to give it to you. The same way we found all the documents and stuff that we're doing. I asked Maxime Bernier yesterday while I was standing there. And I openly got it. Somebody put him on a hot mic. I didn't even know they did it. Maxime Bernier himself wants my transcripts to see if he could use them in his court case. Well, I asked Maxime Bernier, you guys have had 2 years of doing this. You've been riding the coattails of all of us freedom fighters that are doing this, trying to get ourselves in courts. You know, we're doing this. Why haven't you guys been asking where the isolation of the COVID virus is for the last 2 years? Why haven't you politicians been asking this stuff? Oh, that's right, because if you do, you might get fired. Oh, heaven forbid you lose your damn job. This is dumb. We got it on video, and Maxine was just kind of like, wow. He was just shocked. I'm like, we're not stupid people, Barry. The ones that are in this, we're not dumb. If anything, we're the ones doing the research. We're the ones doing the investigations. We're doing what our politicians should have done. And they're not. And now, what do? They ban us off social media, so we can't get our messages out. They ban us in every direction we go, because they don't want this narrative to end. They need this to keep going, and that's why they're fighting us on both sides. We're not just only getting hit by the public; we're getting hit by the politicians too. Like, this is bull. This isn't right anymore. And I'm starting to swing. And pretty soon, I have a feeling that a lot of other people are going to start shooting. I don't want to see that come. I don't want to see that happen. I want to see people do this peacefully, but I have a feeling that inevitably this is going to come down to that. And unfortunately for the rest of the population, I'm sorry, but we told you so.
I really hope it doesn't come to that, Pat. And the reason I say that, and I've talked about this many times on my shows, that they have little toys put away, Pat, for that particular time when they really bring the hammer down on society. The one thing that we have to remember, my friend, is that they do have things that we don't even know about. They have toys put away in their little toolbox that we have no idea about. I don't want to see us go to an armed confrontation. If that's the last resort, so be it. But we really got to fight them in court. We got to use the avenues that are still available. And I hope enough Canadians get involved. And you can, what you've done has inspired a lot of people, Pat. But I honestly kind of urge people, we got to keep this to the court level until we have no other choice but to go to armed confrontation. If it comes to that point, so be it, Pat. But I think if we do that, we're going to be playing right into their hands. And I only say that because conversations I've had with people about the toys they've got put away are kind of scary, what they can do with frequency weapons, what they can do with directed energy. We got to remember, I said, 10 years ahead of what we know about, Pat. So we, last thing I want to see is an armed confrontation. But if it comes to that point, Pat, and we have no other choice in life, I'll be the first one to line up with you, my friend. But I really got to try to hope we don't get to that point.
I just really hope we don't get to that point. And I think we can still if enough people get involved, Pat. Go ahead.
We're trying to stop this right now the way we're going, because we, some in our circle, in our echo chambers that we have here, we know what's coming. And we don't want it to get there. But I'm going to tell your viewers one for the last little kick before we get done here. I highly recommend you look up the SPARS, S-P-A-R-S, pandemic of 2024 to 2028. Now, just like the SARS pandemic that we're going through right now, they held a little conference of a makeshift scenario, what would happen. Well, they've already got the makeshift scenario set up for the SPARS pandemic. And when you look this up and you read through it, get ready, because we are going to live exactly like we've been told, Hunger Games style, isolated communities, limited communication, limited internet, small pockets of resistance. They're coming. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, they're coming. Like Paul Revere said, the British are coming. The British are coming. Well, guess what? The evildoers are coming. The evildoers are coming. And we're yelling it. We're riding on horseback. We're telling our communities. We're telling our people that this is about to happen. You don't want to listen? I don't have time for you anymore. I will move on to the next person. But just know that you've been warned.
Hey, amen. I couldn't say it better, Pat. There's a lot of people that just won't hear, and they won't listen until they're lined up at their door ready to take them away, and then they'll realize that something's very wrong, and by that time, of course, it'll be too late. I got to applaud you for your courage and what you're doing, Pat. You've, like I said, inspired a lot of people in this country. I'm going to let you share a last thought. It's Kelly. If Kelly's still in the room, I'd like to hear from her for a quick second before we shut out here. Almost gone. Kelly, you have a couple last thoughts, and then one last thought from Pat, and I'll have to let you guys go.
Hang on. Kelly, here. One final thought for me.
Hi, Barry.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for coming in today. Always a pleasure having you guys in.
It's always a pleasure coming in. Thank you very much for having us. My final thought would be encourage the entire country to come to the Capitol for September 18th for the worldwide rally. We've got certain organizations that are going to be bringing tents and camping out on Parliament Hill for I'm not even sure how long. Justin Trudeau is planning on dissolving Parliament on the 20th. And people just want to take our house back. They want to take our country back. And I support them 100%. I'll stand in defense of any Canadian, anytime, anywhere, any place, at any consequence. And I believe that this example should spread throughout every community in this country. I mean, if not us, who do our children have?
Mm.
And that would be my final thought.
Absolutely. Thanks, Kelly, for coming in. And Pat?
Yep. One sec. Pat, here's the final thought.
Yeah. So my thing for you, Barry, is the same thing. Keep up the fight. Keep up the hard work with your radio show here. Keep informing people. But know this to everybody out there. The duty of a patriot, look up the definition. Patriot's duty is to protect its citizens from its government when they find corruption and they find collusion and they find all this stuff. And that's what we need to start doing. We need to all start becoming patriots to protect our citizens from our government. And I'll say this, and this is it. I don't mind if you stand behind me. I don't mind if you stand beside me. But I'm telling you right now, don't stand in my way, because you will get plowed. You will get mowed over. I'm not going to take it anymore. And it's time that the alpha males in this country grow a pair of balls, get them out of their wife's purses, and get up and stand up and start protecting your family and your loved ones. Enough is enough. So all the alpha males, this is a call out to you. Grow a pair of balls. Get out there. Quit being pussies. Quit standing there thinking, oh, somebody else will fix it for you. Get up. Stand up. Yep. It's time to fight.
It is your duty. Absolutely. What else do we have as our legacy in this world right now if we don't put a stop to this, Pat? I got to thank you again for coming in and what you're doing, Bud, and your inspiration to people. Canada needs more people like you, and perhaps we'll see more people like you rise out of the ashes right now, because, boy, was there ever a time for it? It's now. Thanks for coming in, guys. Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Barry. Have a great day, buddy.
Okay, man. We'll have you back, Pat. Okay? Please.
You bet.
Okay, guys. Well, I'll be back in about 3 minutes with Kevin Gallagher, guys. So hang around. Kevin's going to talk about the going-ons in the United States of America right now. We'll shift gears a little bit. Thanks again, Pat and Kelly, for coming in. And I'll be back in 3 minutes.
Jesus loves me. This I know. For the and little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Thanks for coming back for the third hour, folks, and thanks again to Kelly and Pat for coming in. Always enjoy talking with them. Third hour here, I have Kevin Gallagher in with his wife, Barbara. Kevin is the organizer and runner and owner of the Truth Be Told radio network that I'm also being carried on. Haven't had a chance to talk to Kevin for a couple months due to the fact that I disappeared for a while.
Always good to have you on, Kevin. And we haven't scripted anything for today's show. We can go anywhere you want with this conversation. But, of course, I'd like to hear about your thoughts about what's going on in your country right now and the crisis at the border and what Joe Biden's doing to your country and how can we correct this situation. Welcome to the show, folks.
Hey, thank you for having us back on.
Yes, and same here. We're happy to be here to join you tonight. And I'm sure it's going to be an exciting 1 hour.
Okay, well, what about your president there, Kevin? What's going on with him, and why is this allowed to be going on in the States right now? Why hasn't the military stepped in and put a stop to this guy and brought things under control? Because what's going on at your border there? Some of the shows, some of the programs I've been watching, some of the reports I've been reading about this, it's just absolute shambles what's going on down there. Why is this going on? Why can't they put a stop to this?
Border? What border?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's the reaction of this administration right now. What border do you happen to be talking about?
Well, we're not talking about the Canadian border, that's for sure. but that's where they're all heading. That's where they're all heading, Kevin.
That's where they're all headed. It's part of a bigger agenda. I mean, you have to remember that in politics, especially at the level that we're talking about, it's all agenda-driven. You're dealing with agendas. And so, you know, you have the bigger picture of what's been looming in the background for years, which is a North American Union, which is the combination of your country, Canada, my country, the United States, and the country south of me, which is Mexico, and combining them into one big unhappy family.
Yeah, well, bring the living standard the same as all three nations is what the agenda is. And if you want to live in the standard of living in Mexico, well, that's where they're taking us, Kevin.
Yeah. Well, certain parts of Mexico, the standard of living is quite good. Other parts, not so much. But, you know, what we're looking at is their ultimate goal is to bring in the North American Union. That's where that is where it is headed. The other thing to look at right now is you have – We have a host on our show. She's a pretty popular prophet by the name of Amanda Grace. And about a year – Barbara, it was about a year and a half ago. She was talking about Governor Cuomo of New York. And this is real important to look at right now for a lot of reasons. And Governor Cuomo has just announced his – he's stepping down from – and he's gotten into some trouble. And we're going to – I want to examine that in the next couple of minutes. It's really important that we understand what the real issues are and what's going on. He has gotten into a bit of trouble. But when Amanda Grace – her show appears on my network Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern – and she's very accurate. She's a prophet who's very, very accurate. And at the height when Cuomo was getting all of his liberal buddies to give him awards and accolades, he even won an Emmy, he got all kinds of awards. He's right now getting in all this trouble and resigning from office for patting a few fannies, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we have a bigger issue, though. All the focus is on the fact that he's patting a couple of ladies' fannies, but not the fact that 15,000 people lost their lives in these managed care facilities that he put all these COVID patients into with the very people that you shouldn't have COVID around. Now, what that is a funny term, but there's nothing funny about it. It's a type of cover-up called a limited hangout. Now, a limited hangout is also called a partial hangout. And according to going through some notes here, going back to Special Assistant Deputy Director of the Central Intelligence Agency, it was Victor Marchetti, it's spy jargon for a favorite and frequently used gimmick of the clandestine professionals when their veil of secrecy is shredded or they can no longer rely on a phony cover story or they want to boot a governor out of office or they want to try to minimize the amount of damage that's being done. What's happening is it's where you get in trouble. Somebody gets in trouble for a minor crime and he gets run through the ringer. But the bigger, more important crime gets covered up because everybody's going, yeah, we just got Governor Cuomo. Yeah, we got him for patting all those fannies. But nothing is being said about the 15,000 plus people that are dead. And that's a limited hangout. That's exactly what we see going on here. And you have people cheering. You have people going and saying, yeah, we got him. But this goes back to 1973. A modified limited hangout goes back to, like I said, 1973. This is during the Nixon White House. And it happened during a meeting of Nixon, John Dean, John Ehrlichman, John Mitchell, and H.R. Haldeman. And it was Ehrlichman who incorporated the term into a new phrase called a modified limited hangout. Now, reading from – now, Nixon was notorious or famous for recording his meetings in the White House in the Oval Office. So here I'm going to read to you from the transcript. So this is not conspiracy theory. This is actually taken from the recordings. The president, Nixon, you think we want to go down this route now and let it all hang out, so to speak? Dean, well, it isn't really that. Haldeman, it's a limited hangout. Dean, it's a limited hangout. Ehrlichman, it's a modified limited hangout. President, well, the only question of the thing hanging out is if it's publicly or privately. So what they're saying is we're going to allow certain crimes to come to light so that we can cover up the bigger ones. And this is exactly what's going on, in my opinion. This is exactly what's going on with Cuomo. And Cuomo is going to go down. He's going down for patting a few fannies, you know, a little sexual harassment, you know, what the Clinton administration called bimbo eruptions. And instead, he's not getting prosecuted. He's no attention is being to the much larger criminal picture, the much more serious one, which is there's 15,000 dead people in these managed home facilities that shouldn't have been around COVID patients to begin with because they have compromised immune systems.
Right.
You got to remember also President Trump had those floating hospitals out in the Hudson ready to go, and they didn't use them. And that's really the appropriate place that they should have gone, not into old age facilities, managed care facilities with people with all these compromised immune systems. It caused the numbers to go to levels that were incredible. But here's the problem. You get the average guy out there, they're thinking, yeah, we got him. We got Cuomo. We got him. Now, Amanda's also prophesied that not only would this governor go down, and remember, she was saying this at the height of his popularity when nobody would even think this was possible, going back, like I said, about a year and a half ago, but also that another governor, my guess is that it's Newsom in California, is going to go down, and right now his recall election is not looking very good for him at all. There's also some talk right now with a few other people, but just for the sake of time, you have these two governors and you have New York and California. They're like the two bookends of the United States. You have California and New York. These are the entertainment capital. California is like the sixth largest economy in the world if you compare it to countries, if you just take it on its own. And New York is the business capital of the world. And here we are. So yeah. This is what we're dealing with, and people can't get this gets into a situation where I learned in sales many years ago. I've been in sales for over 25 years. One of the things I learned when I was selling audio equipment, I can remember I sold audio equipment at a department store for a couple of years, and one of the first things I learned was know when to shut up, know when to let things that are going along to ride their course out. So I had guys back then, they did not like to do sales to a couple, and I loved it because, you see, what would happen is I'm trying to sell some stereo equipment to them, a stereo system of some type, and either the man or the woman would turn and look at each other and say, well, honey, what do you think? Now, when I hear that, I know to zip my lip. I can sit there and tap my foot for a half an hour on the sales floor and not say a word. I'm not saying anything because I know at that point – they're figuring out if they want to buy what I'm trying to sell them. And if I say anything at that point, I'm now viewed as pushy. I'm now viewed as a bad salesperson. And then they'll get turned off and you'll lose the sale. And I learned the hard way a couple of times until I figured out I got to shut my mouth. And so the only time you open up your mouth is when one of the two will turn to you and say, well, you know, well, what about this you were talking about? Then say what you need to say in as few words as possible, answer their objection, and shut up. And that's the point we're at now. Right now, if people get too involved in trying to see these people get thrown out of office, get their due coming to them, it can blow up in their face. Because then the same principle where that customer looks upon the salesperson, me, as being pushy, just like in the Bible with Gideon when he had the 300 going after the Midian army. There comes a point in time where the Midian army took out their swords and they start slaughtering each other. You just get out of their way, baby, and you let them chop each other up. Don't try to get involved. Mm. Let their blood flow. And this is a time where you got to stand back and let these people take out their proverbial swords and start hacking each other up. Don't get involved. And it's going to be one of the hardest things in the world for us to do. And when is the time for us to get involved? When somebody starts asking for more information. When people start asking questions, then you answer them. But you got to back off and you got to let these people just completely hack themselves up, just like the Midians did. Just like the customer that you're trying to sell equipment to, be a good salesman and know when to shut up. And we as good patriots need to shut up and let these people hack each other up because it's about ready to happen. The sharks are circling. The blood is in the water. And let these people do. Let the sharks do what sharks do.
Sounds like it's the same situation I run into all the time talking to people about vaccines and in my community here where, you know, they just absolutely refuse to seize any kind of truth outside of what they hear on the mainstream. And they're at a point now where they almost want to get violent against somebody that's contradicting what they actually believe.
Right. Right.
So that's what we're up against here right now. As far as Cuomo goes, you think he'll ever be held accountable for these deaths? Will that ever happen? Or will he just get a free walk like we see with so many other corrupt politicians?
Well, at this point, the way it looks or the way that they'd like to have things go is that he's going to get in trouble for his little sexual harassment things, but not the bigger issue. The bigger issue has to be pushed, and that gets pushed after you let these people start hacking each other up. When that has happened, that's when you can go in and start pressing forward to the bigger issue because they're going to try to cover that issue up.
Right. What do you think there, Barbara? It's nice to have you in again.
Well, I think, you know, they should be held accountable for the things that they do. I don't think, you know, it's fair that someone that's not a politician or in a governmental situation, they don't seem to get, you know, held accountable for the things that they do as much as somebody that's just a regular person off the street, you know, they seem to get persecuted and prosecuted really quick and fast. Mm-hmm. But we're living in very strange times right now. And even like the Bible says, they call evil good and good evil. Yeah. And so, but you know what? God is allowing, you know, some of this stuff that's happening to be seen and to be exposed. That's a good word today. So that we could see what is really going on that's been there all along but hidden, you know. So, you know, you're ripping off the covers. And there's a scripture that says that, you know, be sure your sin will find you out. Sooner or later, there's payday. And so whether it's here on this earth or the hereafter, whether it's in heaven, you know, we go there. We won't go there with a whole bunch of mess, but or these people, if they don't repent, they'll go to a hell. But the thing is that we're seeing all of these things that have hit every front, seems like, you know. And so, I'm sad. I feel sad to see that they're picking on humankind, you know, the innocent people and the things that are going on. I mean, especially like this pandemic, and it seems to be going round and round and no let up, and that innocent and people are being harmed and people are dying needlessly, you know. And I feel bad for the ones that get on ventilators and things like that. My heart goes out to them, and I pray for people I don't even know because I care about people. I love people, and I hate to see what's going on. And this thing about you know, pushing for vaccines and pushing for passports, medical passports, and trying to make everything mandatory. And it's a big, strong spirit of control. Yeah. And what's running strong in this country is fear. People are so fearful, and people do things that they would never do if they weren't so much in fear. You know, so nobody wants to be sick. Nobody wants to lose their job or their homes and things like that. So, but it's a setup, and we know that Satan is trying to push the timeline, and that's what he's trying to do. And with every generation that comes along, he always prepares an antichrist. And because he doesn't know all things, he can only be at one place at one time. He doesn't have that power like God has. But God is watching everything. And Romans 8, verse 28 says, "For God causes all things work together for the good for those that are called according to his purposes." And also, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God says he will raise up a standard and push back. So he is raising up a standard, even though things are happening. You know, he hates injustice and unrighteousness, and he will ultimately get his way. But in the meanwhile, we're seeing all these things play out, and we're seeing things that we've never seen before. I've never seen the corruption and the deceit and the backbiting and the lies in the media. I never even thought and dreamed that I'd ever see or hear this stuff that's going on. But you can't even get on the TV. You don't know whether it's turn on the news, whether you're going to listen to something that's a pack full of lies, or you're going to hear the truth. And you know that some of these are all with a new world order, and they have agenda. And there's a bigger picture that we don't see. But it's a spiritual war. All behind all of this, you know, there's a spiritual war between light and darkness. And we know that God ultimately, I'm just going to say, he will have his way.
Yeah. When does the media ever tell us the truth? I can't remember, you know, any time in the last 3 or 4 years that they've actually told the public the truth.
But well, the job of the media is not to tell the truth. The job of the media is to keep people quiet, is to keep people
to push the agenda.
Media is a term that means middle. Media is the middleman. Media is, for example, what you'd call a record or cassette tape or a CD. That's the media that the information is printed on. That is the way in which the propaganda can get to you. That is what the media is. And what we've seen going on is the media has been just pumping out incredible levels like I've never seen in my entire life of fear. And when you look at what news is not a word. News is an acronym. It stands for North, East, West, and South. It's the direction they want to point your mind in. So just remember that acronym, news, North, East, West, and South. And that is what the purpose of the, quote, news media is. It's not there to inform you. It's there to propagandize you.
Of course. Yeah, well, they're controlled. Everything that we hear anywhere on media now is completely controlled. They're only going to allow you what they want you to hear. And if you want the truth about any kind of situation that we're feeling or we're dealing with right now, you have to go to alternative sources. That's why what you're doing on your network, what other people are doing on their networks, what, you know, my previous guest and Ron Tyler there from the first hour, you know, that's what they're doing right now, because this information is being suppressed. We talked about the amount of earthquakes and flooding and volcanoes going off in the planet right now in the first hour. And, you know, you're probably more than aware of it, Kevin, that we're in unprecedented waters right now, uncharted waters, as far as the amount of activity that we're seeing and how all that plays into what the Bible tells us about this particular time in history when we are going to see all these events take place. Then, of course, I get people pushing back at me going, well, you know what? Man can control the weather now. They can control earthquakes. They can do this. They can do that. And what the Bible tells us has all been pre-programmed for you to believe and then played out by the evil guys behind the curtain. I get that pushed at me all the time. What would you say to somebody that did that to you or said that to you, Kevin?
It's
you know the angle I'm talking about, the angle I'm coming from. I get it all the time. Go ahead.
Then you say, well, the Bible was written at least 2,000 years ago, and some of this stuff was written 3,000, 4,000 years ago. So there's no way that they could have known back then that we would have the type of technology that we have now. So, I mean, let's just put the cart behind the horse instead of putting it in front of the horse.
Well, of course, the kickback I get against that is man manipulated the Bible.
So again, how would they know? They wouldn't have any idea about what our life would be like now in 2021, 3,000, 4,000 years ago.
Exactly. Well, it's just the argument I get a lot from people, and I try and come about them the same way you're talking right now, but it seems to fall on deaf ears. But a lot of people believe it's all being manipulated.
It's also, think about this. You have in the book of Isaiah 50, what is it? Isaiah 53:5, where it says, by his stripes, you know, we are healed. And then he, back all the way back 800 years or whatever it was before Christ, had no idea that later on Peter would write in 1 Peter 2:24, thank you, that by his stripes we were healed, past tense, with the past tense reality, or that somebody would write down a prophecy and not know that, you know, in so many years somebody else would come along and be like, you know, the thinking is, oh, well, I'm going to have to make sure that in 800 years, when this guy decides to write something that's going to corroborate what I'm writing now, that's when it's like, come on, what are you, stupid or insane?
Well, we're definitely seeing some pretty crazy stuff going on the planet right now. And I'm not a biblical scholar by any stretch of the imagination, but I've read a lot of Revelations and what it tells me about this particular time. And to say that a lot of it's not playing out in front of our eyes right now, you'd have to be blind.
Oh, it's playing out for sure. And that's the one thing that actually gives me a lot of comfort, because you see, to see these types of things going on, what I'm looking at is the birth pains, and what we're looking at with the vaccines and everything else is that this is a trial run. And I'll allude back to something that Barb said earlier, which is the enemy is trying to leapfrog. He's trying to buy some extra time, because as it says in the book of 2 Thessalonians, the mystery of iniquity is already at work. In other words, from day one, the enemy has not known and does not know to this day when the return of the Lord Jesus Christ will happen. He does not know. And even Jesus doesn't know. God has to tell him, look, it's time. You got to go now. You got to go do your mission. So what happens is the enemy has had to have people prepared all throughout history to be able to take the reins and take over, because he only has 7 years to do the dirty. That's all he has. He has 7 years, and he knows that. We all know that. So you have the tribulation. Then after that, 3.5 years later, we enter into the great tribulation. And so what happens is he needs to be completely ready to go, the entire infrastructure, everything. So what he's doing right now is he knows that that time is coming quickly. He doesn't know. I don't know. You don't know. Whoever's listening, you don't know exactly when that's going to be. But he is trying to now buy some extra time. He's cheating. And trying to get that extra time to put in what he needs to put in so that he can really be getting and going when it's time to do that. And so that's what we're looking at. And what we're looking at with this virus is we're seeing a dry run or a dress rehearsal. This is the time when, if you're in a play on Broadway or high school or whatever, you have a dress rehearsal. It's your final rehearsal before you're going to go live before an audience. You might invite some of your family, your friends, and they're going to go sit in the audience, and you're going to be in full outfit, full costume, full makeup, just as if it was the real thing opening night, and you're going to do that play. Well, this is what we're experiencing right now. This is the dry run. This is the final dress rehearsal before this thing goes for real. And so now he's finding out just how many people are going to fall in line and take the mark, how many Christians will do it, how many non-Christians will do it. He's getting the research done. He's finding out right now how that's all going to go down. And he's going to know how many people are going to stand firm and say, no way, no how is that ever going to happen with me. And so he's getting his reconnaissance done. He's doing that right now. And that's basically what we see going on. He's trying to buy some time illegally, and he's getting the research done about what it's going to be like to go live. That's where we're at right now.
Oh, I think we're pretty close to that time myself, Kevin, based on what I see going on, especially with financial markets around the world, how easy our society could be brought to their knees basically in 24 to 48 hours. Our world could be turned upside down. I think just a matter of when they want to flick that switch, when that does happen, boy, I'll tell you, you want to see chaos erupt in society. I believe that's just around the corner. I believe that this vaccine is the mark of the beast. whether it's a dry run or not. I believe that is the mark. I believe with nanotechnology right now, they have the ability to insert things into our body that we have no idea what's going on. A lot of things go through my mind about how this is being played out right now and how it portrays the biblical prophecy. But the fact that now we're talking about vaccine passports where you might not be able to function in society unless you take the jab. Well, that sounds a lot like biblical prophecy to me, my friend.
It does. And for what it's worth, I believe that the mark of the beast, if you go all the way back to the times of Noah, Jesus said, I believe it was in Matthew 24, he said that the times that are coming are going to be very similar to what people were experiencing, the way life was before the flood during the days of Noah. So you had the half-breeds, you had the Nephilim, the half-breeds were walking the earth. The people were living life like everything was normal. They were giving in marriage. People were getting married, having children, going to work. They were doing all the things, and then the flood came. And we're looking at this. Now, what it says in Genesis 6, I believe it is, with Noah, is that it says that he was, quote, perfect in his generations, is the way the King James translates that. But what that means is that his genetics were 100% human. And in order to qualify for salvation, you have to be human. That's why Jesus had to come in human form. He had to do and deal with everything as a human being. Okay, because it was a human being, Adam, that screwed everything up to begin with. So a human has to fix that problem. So if you then change enough of your DNA, whatever amount that is, I don't know, to where you no longer qualify as human, you are now erased from the plan of salvation. You do not qualify for it. So that is what happened with the Nephilim, the half-breeds, or the demons. The demons are the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim. When the Nephilim and their physical bodies died, those spirits that were in them, their spirit became the demons. So without getting into too much of a rabbit trail, what this means is that we're facing the same type of issues, okay, that they were facing then. And that if you do not want to get the mark of the beast. And going back to what I said about Noah and being perfect in his generations, is that the enemy has always wanted access and to be able to control one thing, and that is human DNA.
That's right.
Human DNA is the mark of the beast. And let me put a caveat on that. It's the changed DNA. The changed human DNA into something else, because if he could have wiped out those last eight people, Noah and the total of eight people that were saved on the ark, there would be no plan of salvation. There would be no savior, because nobody would qualify as human, period. It would be over. But God saved eight people, and eight is a number of new beginnings, eight people by water in the ark, and it was able to be regenerated, and that's where we are today. And we are looking at the same thing when you look at these shots that people are giving, these so-called vaccines. You look at the AstraZeneca one that's put out by Bill Gates. They admit that it changes what? Your DNA.
Exactly.
That is the high prize. That is what the enemy, has always wanted. Control the DNA. If he can change you from being human into something else, he wins forever.
Pretty scary what they're doing with this, and the fact that people are rolling up their arms and taking it blindly is even scarier, Kevin. It really is. We're supposed to be intelligent beings, that we're supposed to look at both sides of every situation in life, and yet people are just blindly rolling up their arms. I was looking at the Great Barrington Declaration there a couple of days ago, the amount of doctors that have signed on to that now, and it just blows my mind that there's that many doctors screaming at the top of their lungs, yet we never hear a word about that on mainstream, buddy. It's a real travesty, and we need to take back control of the media. If you control the media, you control the public, and they control all aspects of media right now. We need to change that.
Can I just say something, please?
Go ahead.
With all of this that's going on, we have to remember that the ones that are saved, and I'm talking about the believers, not the Christians, because there's the Sunday Christians. I'm talking about the people that believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, the remnant. And God is watching over the remnant, and he's also perfecting his remnant right now. And he has drawn a line in the church, you know, that it's not church as usual. And he's refining the bride and getting ready for them for his return. But the thing is that people need hope. People need to trust in God, and they need to shift their eyes back on the Lord. I'm talking about believers as well, because a lot of times we can get caught up into all that's going on around and about us, and it looks so hopeless. But, you know, without hope, we just want to just throw up our arms and give up. But that's not what God would want us. He says, fight the good fight of faith, and that we're to persevere. And so we have to be in prayer. And just like the sons of Issachar, they knew the times and the seasons, you know. And if anything in that we need more right now is discernment. We need a greater discernment, because we know the enemy is a copycat and he is a liar. And deception is the way that he could pull a person out of the race of as being a believer and to follow after the evil one. So deception is what he used in the garden. Deception is what he's using today. And there's so much of it. So we have to be in tune with the spirit of the living Most High God. We need to be praying. We need to be spending time alone with the Lord, getting his heartbeat and getting to have his direction by the power of the Holy Ghost. And that we're to just, you know, put more into our trust into him, and not saying that, you know, we just lay back and take everything, but he gives us, you know, direction. He gives us a sense of well-being within ourselves, and to tell us what we need. Yes, times are going to get tough. And many people have been persecuted. They were back in the Bible days. He said, in this world, there will be tribulation, but be a good cheer. Of good cheer, because greater is he, which is Jesus, in us, and then Satan that's in the world, John chapter 4, verse 4. So we, you know, I want to keep my eyes more that way, not saying that I throw everything out. And, you know, we listen, we hear, and we do what is sensible. I mean, there's times that there's lean times. So we should be, you know, putting some stuff away, like some extra canned goods and food and things like that. We do what we can do, you know, and we have to trust in God. And we need to tell whosoever that isn't saved that there is hope. And there is one named Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And they need him. They need to develop a relationship and have a relationship with him, you know. And so it gives them hope. And that's what we need. We need to persevere, even though what's going on. And that's what I choose to do. I know what's going on. My head's not buried in the sand somewhere. And, you know, and I try to do the best I can. And we all do, you know. And there's so many things that come at all of us. But we need to keep looking to Jesus, because he is the answer. And he will somehow or other, something's going to happen. And, you know, and I'm trusting in him. And it's not pie in the sky thinking, but I have a relationship with the Lord. And I know he never fails.
Hmm. Kevin.
Yes.
Your thoughts.
Hey, I'll tell you, it's been very interesting just watching what's going on. And I came across, I'm going to go into a different area here, but as you know, I follow a lot of the smart technology very, very closely, and I just gotten something earlier before we went on the air, about an hour before, and it's a pretty interesting ruling that was made, and you don't see Google lose too many rulings. A judge has ruled that Google infringed on Sonos patents. Sonos, which makes the a lot of the speakers and things, they use a lot of technology. You can find the Alexa, or you can find the Google Assistant in their speakers. Well, they've ruled against Google and said that Google infringed on a number of their patents. Right now, it's about five or six, and Sonos is now filing for against another five. So it's very, very interesting. I don't know what's going to come about with that, but you know, this all has been going on for about 2 years or so, and they're fighting it. But it looks like Sonos is, you know, basically David against Goliath, and Goliath being Google has just gotten a big rock in their forehead, and they're going to pay the price for what they've done. It's very, very interesting.
Well, we know big tech ain't our friends. That's for sure.
No, not our friends.
not our friends at all. We know who they're working with. So that kind of says it in a nutshell.
We are
seeing censorship now in our society that it kind of boggles my mind what's going on right now and some of the stuff that's coming down the tubes, especially here in Canada. Some of the censorship laws that they're trying to pass right now are just right off the charts. But what you expect from a dictator, now we got an election happening again in Canada, Kevin.
I'll tell you,
this is the one that if Trudeau manages to get himself a majority government, then there won't be anything left of Canada in a couple more years, period. It'll be gone. Go ahead.
Well, would Biden, you had asked around the beginning of the program, would Biden, see, the thing you have to remember with any leader, whether it's Trudeau in Canada, Biden here in the United States, whoever it is, even someone who's like a CEO of a corporation, the real power is not in the person that has the throne. The real power comes from the people that are seated one level behind them that have their ear, because those are the ones that are directly influencing and really steering the agenda. So, you know, I thought Joe Biden would have been forced to resign by now. 25th Amendment used against him. But as long as they can keep him as the figurehead, the real people that are running things behind the scenes, I have to guess, are people like Pelosi and a few other, Susan Rice, a couple of the old leftist neocons. You have to look at the fact that these are the people that are really running things behind the scenes. And they don't want to be out in front with the tomatoes being thrown at them. They'd rather have the tomatoes thrown at Joe Biden. And again, we go back to the limited hangout. It's better if you keep Joe there and people keep talking about his mental problems and this and that, rather than the fact that this country, the one I'm in right now, the United States, suffered a communist coup on our election. And that's not being talked about, but people will sit there and have good laughs, sometimes justifiably so, at some of the mental ineptness of Joe Biden. But that masks a much bigger problem. We were taken over by the communists on November 3rd last year, and that's a horrible thing. And they don't want people to really figure that out. And the communists here have been basically following the communist playbook every time they take a country over. What you're seeing done is what they do. Yep. And you have to demonize people. You have to create a demonized class. And right now that's the, quote, unvaccinated. And so we're seeing all of that roll out. It's the example that I use all the time. In the old Peanuts comic strip, you know, Charlie Brown and Lucy, she has the football and she says, oh, kick the football. And he's like, no, because every time you do that, you pull the football away at the last moment. I go to kick it and I fall on my back in the mud. And what happens? She swears up and down, it's going to be different this time. So Charlie goes back. He makes his run. 40 clicks later, she pulls the football out and he's on his back in the mud once again. And we got to stop being Charlie Brown. We got to take the football away from Lucy.
Well, a snake is a snake. Doesn't matter what kind of lipstick you put on it, it's still a snake.
Exactly. And,
that's a good scenario to talk to people about, because it's so true. We are in Canada here. We're watching this government, full-blown communist government right now in Canada, that there is no opposition in this country, that this is absolute ludicrous what they're doing to society here, and yet people are still going along with it. People are rolling up their sleeves and taking this jab, and I'm just beyond being able to understand why people can't look at both sides of any kind of a situation, especially when it comes to something like this controversial so-called vaccine, which it isn't a vaccine. Like you said, it's an altering of the DNA in the human body, which is beyond evil. But most people don't understand what is going on, why this is happening. We're in a lot of trouble, but I am seeing people wake up, Kevin. More than I have in the last couple of years, I'm really starting to see people ask some very, very serious questions about what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Especially with COVID, man, and how it's being rolled out. The new variants, man. What, we're going to have variants every month now, a new variant every month.
Yep. You know, I've had people ask me, what's the safest vaccine you know of that you can take? And I always tell them, the one that you didn't take.
Well, yeah, it's called good food is the best vaccine you can take.
You know? So, yeah,
and look after your body.
It's absolutely nuts what's going on. But we have a very sound, very sane God that you can turn to, and the world can go to hell in a handbasket, but God isn't. God's going to be there for you at all times. All you got to do is turn to Him, trust in Him, and know that He's always going to be there for you. He's never going to leave you or forsake you.
Well, this is the time when people really have to do some soul searching, Kevin,
because
we're seeing this unfold. I have no doubt about what's coming in the very near future. Not that I know what's coming, but what I am being told in the Bible, what is coming, how it's playing out right now, and what to expect in the future. And it's kind of like, if you want to read a newspaper, we'll read the Bible. If you want to read the Bible, read the newspaper. It's basically the same thing. Yeah. And right now, I can't put my finger on the exact timeline, but I know we're into it. I can't say exactly where we are on the timeline, but we're in it for sure. We're seeing these events unfold in front of us right now. Everywhere in the world we look, we see chaos like I've never seen before, ever. We talk about geological events. We talk about weather events. The fact that we've seen, 12 countries here in the last 45 days see thousand-year floods. Well, we've never seen that before in our recorded history. Same thing with all these geological events, with earthquakes and volcanoes going off around the planet. We've never seen this happen before, but it's all prophesized at this particular time that these events were going to unfold. So we're sitting in the front seat and we get to watch it unfold and get your popcorn, because it's going to get interesting.
Yeah,
it's
going to
get really interesting. Well, it's going to get more interesting going forward.
Yeah.
They're really ramping up the agenda right now.
We've seen our country and America change so very much as well. And it's sad, really is sad, you know, to see what's going on. And, you know, and the people here, a lot of the people don't like it. But, you know, what can they do? They I think, you know, they try to some extent, but, you know, but then again, you know, you get persecuted if you do certain things as well here, you know. So here we are thinking that, well, we're finished with wearing the mask. And now they're saying that even the people that are vaccinated have to wear the mask. Mm-hmm. And even the people that have been vaccinated have gotten COVID a couple times, even though, you know, they've taken the vaccine. So and yet, you know, they're looking and frowning upon the person that's not vaccinated. And the thing is, you read more about what's happening to these people because of not being vaccinated. And yet they're hiding the things about the vaccinated people, what's going on in, you know, the deaths. In the,
well, they can't hide it everywhere, Barbara. They can't hide it everywhere. I just reports I read here this week from Singapore was one of them. Where, you know, 75% of the new cases of this variant that are showing up over there, it's so-called, are from people that have been fully vaccinated.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it's blowing their narrative right out the door that this whole charade, I believe, and I'm praying that it's going to be exposed and that people will put a stop to this. If not, it will be the mechanism that the Bible talks about, where we are going to be into a one world government, a one world control mechanism.
Yeah,
this could be the mechanism they use. Or like you said earlier, Kevin, this could be a dry run. They want to find out how people are going to react when that little fear virus is released. And we've seen what people do. As soon as the little fear is put into their heart, their minds are scrambled. They run in their houses and hide under their couches. And they wanted to find out what society was going to do when this was brought on them. They've seen the results. They're pretty happy with the results. Like you said, now they'll go forward. This is never going to. This will never go away unless people stand up against it.
They got to get an attitude and stand up. But, you know,
well, people are slowly getting an attitude, but it's taking a little time because they're starting to wake up to see. You know, I'm hearing people that are just getting disgusted about having to put back the mask on. There are fights now. There's even in school systems about people don't want their kids to be wearing a mask, and some want them to be wearing a mask, and it's just so much chaos and craziness. And, you know, people are getting shot and killed over the mask.
Yeah.
And the mask doesn't do anything as far as help you, really. It doesn't.
Premier Quebec came out and said they're going to mandate vaccines. Well, 300,000 people showed up on the streets of Montreal yesterday saying, good, ain't going to happen. Good. And you know what? Good. That was, I was talking to people, Kevin, that were at that demonstration yesterday, my friend, and the energy that there was just incredible. Yeah. My guests here for the last hour were speaking at that engagement. Well, and you know, they said they've never seen it. Well, it's about time. Canadians are really starting to understand that you're being duped. So everybody was at that march yesterday in Montreal. You don't think they're going to go home and talk to their friends and sit down at their tables and talk to their family about this? Well, there is a movement now in Canada, a real, real large movement against the government.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, too,
it's so necessary right now. Go ahead.
The thing is, too, is that what I see happening here is you're having one standard for people that took the vaccine, another standard for people who haven't.
Right.
And the last I checked, there is a principle of equal treatment under the law. And that is a complete, total violation of that principle. Now, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm not so dumb that I don't see the obvious when I see it. Well, and it's just that you're holding two different standards for public services, for tax dollars, for social services, for being able to shop in a store. And we know from where things are headed, that's where it's going. But as long as it can be delayed as long as possible, the better off we all are.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, they're the masters of division. Go ahead, Barbara.
I think what it is that these people, you know, the more they can push and the more they can oppress people, you know, the government and all these governors, and even in these, it seems like they let the power go to their head and the people just succumb to it, you know, and thinking that they're doing the right thing when they're spreading this thing, broadcasting the way they've been doing about this virus. And yes, it is a virus, this coronavirus is. People are getting sick.
But all it is a flu.
Excuse me. People are getting sick. And people are dying. But people are getting well as well. They're not all dying. And the thing is that there's other means, you know, to do for prevention than it is to take a vaccine. You know, but they don't want people to know that because there's big money, and there's another agenda, and there's big money in pharmaceutical things, you know. And so,
that's part of it for sure.
But how about keeping one's body healthy by our immunities, you know, build up our immunity? And, you know, they don't even know how much vitamin D a person should be taking, you know, and they want to remove vitamin C off the counters and things like that. And we have things that can help keep our immune system healthy. And, you know, God made us that way to fight off bacteria and sicknesses and things like that, you know. And so we need to keep ourselves by eating right, getting enough sleep, taking, you know, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, and whatever, you know, to help stay healthy, and other means that they don't want to talk about, you know, that you could do other ways to prevent getting COVID. They don't think and regard those ways. They are only thinking about one thing. They've got one thing in mind. Is the vaccine. Not all countries are that way, but America, I know, that's the thing. They keep pushing it, pushing it. And I have families that have gone to the doctors, and they were just making them almost feel guilty for not taking the vaccine. And and one is saying, well, you don't love people. I mean, how dare somebody say, this is a doctor, oh, you don't love people. You know, trying to make people feel creepy and like a heel, you know, and making them feel bad, making them put them on a guilt trip and thinking like, you know, they're at fault for not doing that, you know, because they choose not to. They choose to use another way to prevent COVID.
Shame on them. But unfortunately, that's happening all over the place. You know, the worst thing for a child is to restrict them from being exposed to bacteria and germs. Our immune systems are designed or are working at their optimum when we are exposed to germs on a regular basis. And now we're in a society where they want everything to be sterile, that children aren't being exposed to the germs like I was when I was a child, made my immune system healthy and strong. Well, that's being taken away from kids. And of course, kids are going to get sick.
I remember.
I mean, they've got this planned out so well, Kevin. Everything they do is meant to work against us. And we only do have about 5 or 6 minutes left here. So I'm
What you were saying. I remember when I was a kid, people, for lack of a better term, they'd have a measles party. I remember now in this country here, people are like freaking out over the measles. And I'm like, this is a rite of passage for a kid. I mean, kids get the measles, and somebody's kid on the street would get the measles, and the parents would tell their kids to go over and play with that kid, not because they're being sadistic, but it's because it's better for you to get the measles and the chicken pox when you're a child because your body can handle it than getting it later in life, because chicken pox can kill you as an adult, but it doesn't when you're a kid. And it prevents you from getting – I think it even prevents you as when you're older from getting – shingles and things of that nature. But the thing is this is what we're forgetting, in that, I mean, I would see parents, people flipping out because their kid got measles and we got to get them the vaccine. And I'm like, why?
Well, hey, it's conditioning, it's brainwashing, and everything they're doing, even though it looks like on the surface they're trying to be helpful, what they're doing is detrimental. Vaccines for everything in our world. When I was growing up, man, I had every childhood disease that you could think of, mumps and chicken pox and you name it, I had it. But what that did, it created a very, very strong basis for the rest of my life and gave me a really good immune system.
Yeah.
What they're doing is taking that away from us, Kevin, and it's just a travesty that they're doing that. We only got about 3 minutes left here, so I'm going to let Barbara have a last thought, and I'll let you have a last thought, and I'll have to say goodbye for now.
Well, as a minister that I am, an ordained minister, my heart is for people to know Jesus, have a relationship with Jesus, and to invite him into their hearts, and just asking for forgiveness of their sins and inviting him into their hearts as Lord and Savior, because he is the way, the truth, and the life, and he can help them. He's the only one that's going to be there in their midnight hour. And we can call upon the name of the Lord at any time, and that he wants us to have hope, to hope in him, to trust in him, to help us. And not that we bury our head in the sand, but we look up to him for his help and for his direction. And that there's things that are going on in the world, yes, and we don't disregard that, but he wants us to be wise as serpents and gentle as dove. And so I just want people to know that God loves them and he has a plan for them. And this isn't over until Jesus says it is.
Mm. Amen. Kevin.
Think for yourself and never mind all the propaganda. Never mind CNN. It's a MSNBC, Fox News, whatever, the local paper, CNN, doesn't make any difference. Richard Maddow, whoever's on the TV talking to you, doesn't make any difference what they think. You need to be able to think for yourself. The book 1984 was written by Eric Arthur Blair. Now, you know him better as George Orwell, is his pen name. And he had a lot of experience with watching revolutions, the communists and everything. And he wrote the books 1984 and Animal Farm as direct warnings about this stuff. And he wanted to rename that book. The original name for 1984 was supposed to be The Last Thinking Man, because that is the one thing that governments fear more than anything else, is that you can rub two brain cells together and come up with your own original thought. You don't need to be led by the hand by whatever propaganda is out there to come to whatever conclusion that they want. You can think outside the box that they set up, do your research, and be able to think for yourself and be able to think these things through. Be that person that gives these people fits, because they want everybody to fit into the nice little cage, the nice little box that they made. So just bear that in mind. And the reason the book is called 1984 is because the publisher changed 1948 to 1984, and that became the name of the book. But he wanted it to be called The Last Thinking Man. Don't be the last thinking man. Be in a group of people that can all think for themselves. Be a group. I know this is oxymoron, but be a group of individuals. Because everybody now, everything is directing people to be a group and groupthink. And you need to be an individual. That's be your own person that can think on their own two feet.
Well, you're right, Kevin. The last thing the government wants is an informed, educated public. And they're taking it away from us. And more ever than before do we need to be educated and aware of what's going on around us. Because the deceptions are far and they're very deep. Thanks for joining me, guys. It's always a pleasure having you in, Kevin.
Thank you.
Thanks for carrying my show on your network. I appreciate the exposure and any help to get the word out. Well, that's a wrap for this week, folks. I've enjoyed the show this week. I hope you guys have good information shared. I hope we've maybe turned on a few light bulbs today. And if we have, then we've achieved what we set out to do. Thanks for joining me this week. I'll be back next week, the same time, same place. You guys all have a great week. God bless you all. Love you. And, of course, thanks to Steve for producing my show. Thanks to the network for carrying this and providing this information to the audience. You guys have a great week. Bye for now.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.